Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
That was weird. I don't know why that was auto-set to mute. I swear this thing is... Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up. That was Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. I have quite a show for you today. A lot of important conversations swirling around this. And what's interesting, as you tend to know, if you watch this channel, we were a little ahead of the curve on this conversation, discussing this before this self-spreading vaccine discussion was everywhere. Now, my fault for forgetting that discussion, because I had that document in front of me 3 days, 4 days ago. Orwell from the chat actually sent it to me, and I forgot to include that in a very important show I did just the last show around the concept of vaccine shedding and what that could mean and what that means in regard to COVID-19. So today we're going to be touching on that, sort of the next step of that discussion, but a lot of very important things, not just going over circumstantial discussions and superficial, or, you know, a lot of the things that have been circulating, but we're going to go into the science as always around what this is, around self-spreading vaccines, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines as well. Different things. Important to understand. We'll go into that today. But the point of self-spreading vaccines being discussed before COVID-19 and during COVID-19 and now after the illusion is dissipating, however you want to look at it, they're being driven in right now, right? And this is something that's very alarming with this other discussion about whether or not people are getting something, whatever you want that to be, whatever your mindset is. Not just you don't get to just pick, but whatever you think it may be, hopefully you're researching, whether that's RNA shedding, whether that is something viral passing to people. I mean, who knows what's really happening, but there's a lot of discussion around this that is undeniable. The correlation is undeniable. As always, correlation is not causation, but it means something and you should look into it, or it can anyway. And in this case, we're seeing people all over the map. We showed you the Veyers report of the woman who was breastfeeding, the baby died 2 days later after she was vaccinated, right? Then we have the information coming out around the people who with their menstrual cycles changing based on people they were around who were vaccinated. And there's a lot of theories around all this. We'll get into those as we go through, but there's also the possibility that there is something happening, such as when Israel vaccinated all these people, we saw an immediate and exponential spike in people being sick with COVID-19, or maybe it was something else. I mean, there's a lot here that nobody really wants to dig into. And if they're unwilling to acknowledge the obvious links we see between risks of the vaccines and what's going on right now, why would they acknowledge anything else anywhere that went against the narrative? Think about how obvious it is that we know it's verifiable that blood clots were caused by these vaccines. We now have a term, vaccine-induced thrombosis, that has been acknowledged by the U.S. government. Yet, oddly, the mainstream media will continue to reiterate that there's zero deaths and no links and no proven aspect. How is that possible? It's because either they don't know that or they're lying to you. So as I said the other day, why would you go to a propaganda outlet to get your news? Seems kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? So maybe you should go out. I mean, you're all here, but the people out there should seek out news outlets to get their news. Now, whether you think I'm that's up to you. But pretty clear, I think we all acknowledge that mainstream media is very obviously not news these days. They're being funded by the very people that are profiting from what's happening right now. Now, we're going to go through a lot today, so I hope you will stay tuned to the end. Before we get into everything, I wanted to make a couple of quick notes for those that are currently on Super U. Super U is the new platform that I've been telling you about for a long time. It's been discussed, it's been building, and now it is absolutely here. Now, the point is, if you are on this platform, that's fantastic. And if you're on YouTube, the question is why? You can see the current live stream playing right on the front. This is us going right now. You'll find my channel in here as well that you can look at with the background playing. Now, the point is, this is a new platform. It's got all the bells and whistles you might expect from other platforms, but the whole push here was to get this to you guys as soon as possible to make sure that you had somewhere to go if you were pushed off YouTube or you don't want to support the problem anymore. But understand that we did this with your interests in mind, right? So there were a lot of things that we decided to say, okay, wait, let's put that off for a minute, right? Let's make sure that we put these things to the side to make sure we can get live, and then we'll circle back and get those things. So for all of you that are there, it's very important that you give feedback. You let us know what's going on, what you see, what you don't like, and so on. But remember that there's a lot of stuff, such as, for instance, the chat replay, which we already have. That was one of the first things we discussed, but we chose to put it off to make sure we could get this to you as soon as possible. Over the next month, 2 months, you're going to see a lot of stuff coming in the next probably couple of weeks as well, but you're going to see a lot more coming. Now, also the important thing to remember is our payment gateway is already set up, but it hasn't been implemented yet. And that was one of the things we did in order to get this to you as fast as possible. So right at this very moment, you cannot tip me or do things in that nature, but that's coming. That will be the most, as far as I understand it, the next step we will be taking. And that will be to make sure you guys can support people on this platform. Now, in any case, you should be going where you like to go, where you want to enjoy these platforms, but you should do so that supports a company that agrees with your outlook on the world and doesn't censor and remove and suppress and lie to everybody on their platform for its own interests and the people that are controlling them. This platform is designed to protect the people who want to speak about things they have a right to speak about, or whatever you want to speak about for that matter, free speech. That's what's important. Now, there'll be more coming out, but I wanted to make sure you all saw this, that you knew it was there, and that you knew that there is now a YouTube alternative that you can use. It's up and running. Now, there will be things that come and go as we keep building, right? There's always bugs that will be coming. We're working things out as we go forward, but it was in the interest of getting this to you as fast as possible. So thank you for helping us build this, and thank you for being there. Very important time. I guarantee you YouTube is not happy about that. So on that note, let's jump right in to start off with a couple of foreign policy points. Now, this I just had to include because this is a very big deal. Israel's an apartheid regime, according to mainstream human rights groups. Robert Inlakesh wrote today. Now, this is something I really hope you will read, because the bottom line is, not that I'm saying we should endorse or support. I mean, Human Rights Watch and a lot of these human rights organizations have let us down time and time again. That does not change the fact that it's a big deal that Human Rights Watch has now announced that a threshold has been crossed, even though it's been crossed since the very beginning. But it says Israeli authorities and the crimes of apartheid and persecution. So it's not a secret. You understand Israel's an apartheid state and your government supports that. And everybody can see that except people who have a vested interest in making sure you don't think Israel is what it obviously is. That has nothing to do with the concept of Judaism. It has nothing to do with anything other than governments and their crimes and the way that they're affecting the people around them. Now, there's plenty of other discussions to be had about the concept of Judaism and how that plays a role in this, but that's not what we're talking about today, because you understand there are obviously issues around this. I mean, we just told you and just wrote an article about the concept of that Jewish supremacy group that Israeli media is clearly calling a Jewish supremacy group that was walking around and beating up Palestinians and doing all sorts of terrible things. And that's seemingly creating some huge uprising right now. The reality, though, is that this is happening there, and that's why we have people and groups like that there, because it's being allowed by their government. Because Palestinians are lesser than in this apartheid state. That's the point, right? So I hope you will check this article out and read a lot more that he's written. But this is a huge turning point, and I just want us to recognize that this shows you how wrong your government has been, continually lying to you. Hiding the facts, ignoring the fact that people are murdered with no justification, or murdered, killed with no justification, or the fact that they're continually starving multiple countries just because they want to achieve certain political ends. But it's all about freedom, though, right? Because as long as they say the word freedom, all that murder is okay, right? This is what we need to recognize. And it's the same people who are running this absurdly obvious illusion that they're calling COVID-19. I also want to point out on that note, as I was adding this link to that article, just about the huge, the unbelievably Beirut blast, which was basically Lebanon's 9/11 that nobody seemed to care about. Just shows you how much propaganda and the control of the world media plays a role in making things like 9/11 what they were, instead of the obvious manipulation by our government that it was. The reality is that the Beirut blast was a horrifyingly, that was an act of war. That was a terrorist act by the very people we're talking about, in my opinion, based on the facts as it stands. In any case, the point is that this got ignored. But the real point was to show you that this was a video that YouTube is saying is no longer available because the account was terminated. Wait a minute. How does that make sense? Seeing as how that's the channel that I have right now that they gave back because they said, we were wrong. You did not spread misinformation and we made a mistake. Right? They don't want you to know all that. That's why they deleted half my content and didn't allow me stream with this for about a week or 2 weeks after they gave it back. But they did. That's why I said censored and sanitized by YouTube. But they did. And they said, our bad. We made a mistake. So ask yourself what's going on here. Are you confused, YouTube? That video embed clearly says the channel was terminated. Yet there's my channel right there. You can see it. It's right there. So are you confused? You know, the one you gave me back after apologizing for being wrong, care to explain? They don't explain. The point is they deleted all this content and then gave the channel back for some very strange reason, but clearly don't know what to do about the fact that they don't want that content there. I just find this to be humorous. Bear with me because I like pointing out how ridiculous YouTube is, but let's keep going because the point is not about YouTube. The point is about the manipulations that they're allowing to happen, the manipulations that they're continuing to push on everybody and hide the truth around those manipulations because they're working for something much larger than video content and truth and free speech. You know, that's why they have to pay themselves to give themselves a free speech award, because that's what good free speech fighters do, right? Good job, Susan Wojcicki. You paid for your own award. That's fantastic. But to bring this into the context of COVID-19, it's important, as I keep telling us, that we continue to be very watchful and very conscious of manipulations, even from within what, or even stating things that we agree with, right? That's always important. This is why I keep telling us and everybody, we need to be better than the mainstream media. Not a really hard thing to do, to be quite honest, but we need to be better because they want you to fall into the same traps and the same ploys and lie for your truth, just like they do. Even though there's only really one objective truth, we all lie for our truth today, right? Because that's what they've created. Well, I should say we all, not me, but people in the two-party illusion, yes. But here's a point. We discovered this in our Discord community today. To commemorate my second shot of Pfizer vaccine, I got a Band-Aid tattooed where I was jabbed. People are already commenting when they see it, they feel safe and I'm fully vaccinated. I wear my mask to protect others. Okay, so this was a post, right? So somebody posted this. And it seems to be like, well, of course, right? Because we've seen this everywhere. People are all over the place and, you know, basically virtue signaling about their vaccines. And I got my vaccine. I'm totally safe now. I'm just checking this to see if it's still going.
Commemorate my second shot of
fire. Yeah, just making sure. And so it seems like something you go, okay, well, that makes perfect sense, right? I mean, the people, like the woman in her dress, and there's all these things that have been posted on social media on people's accounts that are clearly there, and it's not hard to verify that they did these things. They feel like they're the best person alive because they got this experimental injection that's unapproved that was rushed through and on and on and on. But the point is, when you do a little due diligence, you find out that that image was posted as early as 2017. So it's a lie, right? So it doesn't mean that somebody wouldn't do that. No, I'm sure that's certainly possible. I'm sure they're capable of it. But the reality is there's people even on, let's say, your side, if you believe that this is all fake and the vaccines are dangerous and whatever else, that would make this because they believe they're doing it to show you what they're really like. So they believe they're doing this. They even believe it's true, but they lie about it because they want you to, they're lying for their truth. If you're doing that, you're the problem. That's what's happening right now, right? If you're out there in the two-party, it's usually the two-party illusionists. Well, one of these fake sides where they're completely lost about the propaganda and only the other side's the bad guy, right? It's like we're in kindergarten. But they make it up. So as we go forward, we need to make sure we're aware of all sides. Just because you see a post that says, this is vaccines bad and this thing, you know, we say that must be true because I believe that. We do our due diligence every time. And that's what we did today in our Discord community. That's why I like that community so much. So this is important to make sure we are checking and verifying. Now, I want to also point out this document again, because this has been circulating continually. And this was something I saw shared first by Denny Rancourt. And I talked about it like in the middle of a long show. So I want to point this out right in the beginning, just so doesn't get lost, at least for our audience. This is the COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough case investigation. Now, remember, the whole point of something like a breakthrough case, as they're talking about it, is the idea that people are getting vaccinated and then getting sick. So it's a breakthrough. They have to give it a new title to make it like some new rare thing. No, this is pretty common. We've seen people who get it afterward. We saw entire articles from mainstream outlets that say all these people got sick after COVID-19, after the vaccine. So it's one, not very rare in the context of how much it's been happening. But on top of that, it's pretty much shows you the vaccine doesn't work. Right. Then on top, you recognize after, based on what they're telling us, it doesn't stop transmission. You can still catch it. So there you go. This is the reality of that. People don't want to hear that stuff. But the reason this is important, as Denny pointed out, or actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. It was James Lyons Weiler who first shared this that I saw. But to point it out again, so when they're deciding whether they want to say whether this case is or is not contagious or a problem in regard to only breakthrough cases, well, they're then happy to make sure that the PCR cycle threshold value is under 28. But remember, as I showed you in the last show I did, and plenty of times before, they still, right as of right now on the WHO and the FDA websites, allow up to 40 if they're testing you for COVID-19, right? So remember, between 35 and 45 guarantees an obscenely high false positive rate. They know that, as I've played for you many times, because Fauci himself has admitted this more than once.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule.
Oh, so it's a standard now. All right, so it's a standard. So we totally know this. In June 2020, that this is a problem, that anything over 35 is just, it's not replication competent. That's what he says. Right. So why then do we continue to use it for PCR tests in regard to COVID-19? And then when they even reiterate the instructions for use, they reiterate 40 on there. 40, it says. I showed it to you in the last show. But they come out with a breakthrough case documentation, you know, the one that they don't want you to really notice. And weirdly, they say under 28. So you see what this is, right? This is a control mechanism. In my opinion, this shows you at some level, somebody is well aware that this is how you control the illusion. I said this from the very beginning. If you keep the cycle threshold below that number, well, you guarantee the number to be either accurate or even lower. But if you, because you understand, if you put it at 10, you wouldn't even zoom in enough, in my opinion, to probably see what you're trying to find. The point is that it is there's a science to this, obviously. But if you put it above 35, what do you get? You guarantee that the number will be much bigger than it is. So is it hard to believe that on the exact thing they don't want you really paying attention to, they make sure that the number will be low, but then on COVID-19 cases that are using to control everything, they make sure those look high. It's an error on purpose in regard to the information. This is what we keep talking about, lying with statistics, lying with data. They're continually gaming everything. On that note, coming into that, making sure we're aware of how dishonest they are about this entire thing, make sure you watch this or this, either pause now, watch this, or come back later and watch this show. COVID vaccine shedding, evidence SARS-CoV-2 spike protein can alter human genes, and Veyer's truth, which was Del Bigtree pointing out very clearly yet again that the numbers are almost exactly 1% of the real information. He showed you this with anaphylaxis, where he said they claim it was only 25 per million, 10 million. And then when you actually did the real information study, you find out it was 25 for 10,000. Well, what do you know? Pretty much 1% of the total. Exactly what Harvard and HHS found when they literally investigated that and tried to set up a new system. And the CDC said, we won't talk to you anymore because your system finds out what we don't want people to see. I recommend you watch the show yesterday. But on that note, building off of the concept of this discussion, let's bring in the cock of self-spreading vaccines that has been everywhere. Right. So right now it's all over the mainstream media, or excuse me, the independent media. The problem is that they're using a lot of the kind of, it's not like you shouldn't be able just to casually talk about this, but they're using a lot of the casual discussions to dismiss all of it. So what we're going to go through today is the actual verifiable information. And this won't be that hard to find because it's pretty easy and it's all over the place before COVID-19 or in the middle of it. Now, this is from New Scientist. We now have the technology to develop vaccines that spread themselves. Prevention is better than cure, so we should start using genetic techniques. Sure. But the point that everyone is missing, for those that are, is that this was developed for animals. Right now, clearly, that it does not mean it can't be used for humans. And we'll get into this as we read through it. But understand right off the bat that the first iteration of this was about using these vaccines on animals for the interest of stopping the transmission to humans from, you know, diseases, which, by the way, remember that there's entire, like, there's a huge portion of the mainstream sphere that doesn't agree with that whole mentality, or the fact that this whole thing started from a bat, or on and on, which have been pretty clearly shown not to be the case. So even within that, it's odd that they are focusing in on that one part of it, and some don't even necessarily agree with that. But anyway, the point is that you're going to give it to an animal, and then it would spread amongst the animal population, and you would somehow stop that from spreading to humans. First of all, it does seem a little bit ridiculously infeasible to pretend that we're going to somehow manage to vaccinate all animal populations, right? Even if it's self-spreading. What if there's populations on different parts of the continent or different parts of the world? It just doesn't really seem feasible to me. But on that note, let's go into this, and you'll see what I mean. A possible solution is, and remember, this is August 2020, because this comes full circle to today. And I'm going to, it becomes quite a bit more interesting than just about animals. A possible solution is to create vaccines that spread themselves through an animal population. So, I mean, just to start off, it's interesting to me that this conversation is being just like all of them, just like in the beginning, just like masks not working the way they say they do, like lockdowns not working. You always get that one weird, you know, doctor, I guess, on YouTube or whatever else that comes out with their video and says, ha ha ha, these people are so stupid. And here's what why that's not even something that's possible. And we keep getting this. Or Bill Gates' wife going, microchips, and is that even possible? It's like, yeah, lady, or whatever. You know that, right? You know that it's possible because you guys fund that stuff. Maybe not in regard to specifically vaccines, but so for her to act like it's that ridiculous, it shows you there's something going on there. But in this case, everyone's pretending like this is such a ridiculous idea, but it's right there. We clearly have the technology to make vaccines that spread from entity to entity, animal or human. Now, it says these self-disseminating vaccines can be developed in at least two ways. Now, one is one that's not extremely relevant, but then that's about just like rubbing it on their fur and allowing that to like spread because they lick each other. Doesn't seem at all like that would make sense, but it says a more radical approach, of course, the one that they're going to do, relies on inserting a small piece of the genome of the infectious disease agent into a benign virus that spreads naturally through the animal population. As this transmissible vaccine spreads from animal to animal, it immunizes them against the target infectious disease, vastly increasing immunity within the animal population, so they say. But the point is, to understand this, you're infecting them with something, or rather injecting them with some kind of benign virus that then spreads, which is interesting because if it's benign, I'm not sure how that spreads, but we're talking about genetic manipulation here. So God knows what they're capable of. But so this spreads. So the idea is that you get injected with this vaccine and it spreads from you to other people or an animal to another animal simply by being around them. I don't see why this is so hard to grasp, at the very least that it's possible. Right. So I'm in no way insinuating that we know this is happening today. Is it possible? Of course it is. Do I think they would do this? Absolutely. I have no doubt in my mind these people are capable of this. But as always, we're here to give you the data for you to put, piece together and come to your own conclusions. But it says the technology for developing transmissible vaccines now exists. So understand, even in August 2020, it was currently there. It wasn't some hypothetical 20-year down the line thing. Now. Then and now it exists. They have that. So even if it's being tested on animals, is that not still possible that it could then jump from animals to humans too? Right? These are all questions that need to be explained or asked or even asked first, right? So if this is being tested even in a lab, remember, Fort Detrick is known for having one leak every 3 days for 7 years. That was cited by multiple outlets, including the CDC or entities. We've covered this in multiple shows. Right? This is one of these leaks was right before COVID-19 started, for crying out loud. They shut down the whole lab months before this all started and said, we had a bio leak. Then they shut it down and claimed national security. So no one even knows what happened. I don't know why that's not the biggest part of this possible discussion. I think I do know why. But remember that if we can have leaks, and that Fort Detrick is a bio lab. They have Ebola, coronaviruses, all sorts of horrible things there. One leak every 3 days for 7 years, for crying out loud. There was an example of somebody throwing away, I think it was something like anthrax in a garbage can. Really dangerous. And the point is, if it's being worked on at a place like that, even if it's on animals, even if it's being tested, it's still possible in my mind that that could get out. So just keep that in mind, because that's clearly what we're talking about here. Efforts are now underway to develop prototypes for several important human pathogens, such as the Lassa and Ebola viruses. Lab and field trials need to check how effective this approach is and look for possible unexpected consequences of self-disseminating vaccines. God, what could possibly go wrong? Now, at this point, if you read it into fully, it's about animals. Even the comment about human pathogens is in regard to stopping it in animals first. That was the first, at least as I can see, discussion here around in the mainstream. COVID-19 cure. All right. So now suddenly it got very quickly. So September, a month later, going, well, wait a minute. What about COVID-19? Why can't we use this for COVID-19? And that's where the discussion began to center. This is on Express. Coronavirus cure. Scientists plan bizarre self-spreading vaccine to fight pandemic. Now, just to jump really quickly. Well, that one was 2016. I had another one in here. I'll wait. No, that's that one. Well, anyway, so that this is the one I guess I was looking for. So this is 2016, you can see. Right, so this is not some thing that just came up in 2020, right? So I find it really odd the way that they try to cover this. Bizarre self-spreading vaccine plan that's been around for 5 years or 4 years, right? And so if, again, as I always point out, either the Express did zero due diligence and just reported what they were told, or they knew that and then still reported it as some strange new thing. You just got to recognize how odd it is that these people, the way that they frame this is so incredibly intentional. But it says scientists believe bizarre self-spreading vaccines would be a vital tool in fighting coronavirus. Now, it says researchers said self-disseminating vaccines could stop coronaviruses passing from animals to humans. So we're still arguably at that stage in the discussion. And this is only 1 month later in 2020. Now, it says there are fears. And just to be clear, in my opinion, the moment this was feasible, there was some level of whether military or otherwise who were going, how do we adapt this to humans? How do we use this? How do we use it as a weapon? How do we use it as preventative measures for humans? Right. There, I guarantee you that's how these people operate. And that's we tend to get them this kind of information when they've already done it and it's already been in use for 20 years. Right. That's how, if you look back through our history, our military does that with everything. So remember that, but it says there are fears that genetically engineered viruses could evolve mutations that make them harmful to humans and wildlife populations. Gee, I don't, you know, you wonder if that's happening right now. It says in a scientific article entitled Self-Disseminating Vaccines to Suppress Zoonosis, as in, you know, zoonotic transmission, published in Nature magazine, researchers argued the advances in genetic engineering now raise the possibility of overcoming challenges through the use of self-disseminating vaccines capable of transferring from one individual to another. From one individual to another. Interesting. It's funny. This is where this logically goes, but I'm surprised. I feel like I missed this in this article, actually. So it's clearly saying advances in genetic engineering now raise the possibility of overcoming challenges through the self-disseminating. I mean, it's clearly saying individual. So in no context does a person talk about an animal as an individual. We all know that. So that's a very early iteration of the pot. Like, we could use it for humans, right? Quote, it is now more apparent than ever that we need a better and more proactive approach. They outline a method of, quote, using vaccines capable of autonomously spreading through wild animal reservoirs in order to eliminate a potentially harmful disease from affecting human populations. They added the sustained replication and transmission. Right. So remember this, the way that they're describing this when we get to the self-replicating mRNA, sustained replication and transmission of a self-spreading vaccine creates substantial opportunities for evolution where the mutated virus could circulate and causes disease. So the idea that this could mutate, which is, by the way, what it seems to be like every 30 seconds they're saying that's happening right now. So the idea is that, well, we're manipulating this and it could get out of control. It's like, well, gee, that's always what we're talking about. And that's probably what we think people like Dr. Boyle, at the very least, think is happening from Fort Detrick. It says the scientists are poised to begin developing self-disseminating vaccines to target a wide range of human pathogens and animals. But here, where the last part gets interesting, it says he is heading up efforts to vaccinate animal reservoirs first, ensuring that an outbreak never reaches human populations. I don't understand how it's even possible to vaccinate an entire animal reservoir because they're not only in one spot in one location in the country. I don't know. This, it seems like that was never meant to be how that actually works. I'm just going to lay that out there. But it says, the scientists argue it is, this is the bottom, this gets really crazy. A spin for this that you probably won't expect. The scientists argue it is a cost-effective way to allow vaccines to, quote, naturally spread. I love that. Naturally? Really? That's why it's in quotes, obviously, because we're talking about a genetically modified vaccine that you're putting inside of a human body that it's not supposed to be in, and then allowing that weird thing to spread for first naturally. Jam that in. Naturally spread worldwide without the need for developing billions of doses of vaccine distributed via oral injection. Okay, so clearly you get a huge benefit to the vaccine companies. In the one, because in one case, you're talking about billions of vaccines for animals, which, I mean, no one's going to, I bet you there's minimal regulation or, you know, anything. I mean, if they kill them, do people care? Then you realize they're also talking about developing billions of doses for worldwide. Like, this becomes a huge possible boon for the vaccine industry, right? But it says the concept involves re-engineering a benign virus by adding genetic material from the coronavirus pathogen, right? So now we're into today, and infecting large quantities of reservoir populations. So they're already talking about a year ago almost, saying we're going to possibly play with this and use a benign virus with using coronavirus. So we're already manipulating the coronavirus in real time, which is not surprising. They've been doing it for decades in Fort Detrick and elsewhere and other places in China and all over the world, and infecting large quantities. Now, the question should be right now, do they already do this? Do we really believe that they would tell you? We're an emergency, right? They don't need to justify anything. They keep telling us that. To get a genetically engineered virus to self-spread, scientists must first directly inoculate a small population intravenously. Okay, so now start asking yourself, what else is that happening with, right? So let's hypothetically say, I'm not arguing this is happening, but hypothetically say that this is something that's already in use. We already see what's happening. We already have a small population who has already been directly intravenously injected in the human population, right? So if you were to say hypothetically this would be used, that seems to be what's already happening in this part, right? And then we're already seeing all this stuff start to happen. So is it possible? Sure. Do we know that for sure? No. And we need to be able to say that. Now it says the small population will then go on to spread the virus aerobiotically, so through the air. So here we are at a point where it's a no-brainer that something like this, if being used, would very easily be able to spread from person to person after being vaccinated. But then you'd ask two things. One, again, whether or not that is being used. Your government has done countless things to you that you've never known until well later. So is it possible they're doing this right now? Of course it is, for your best interest, right? Because anti-vaxxers and because vaccine hesitancy. And if we don't do that, we're all going to die. Well, of course you could see the rationale for them if they believe that stuff, or the ones that are lying about it because they want this to happen for some reason. But then we also have to consider the possibility that this is something that accidentally happened. Right? They're toying with something that I argue theoretical, right? You are the first entities out there, if you're the crazy enough to try this, that have been used. This has been used on. So is it possible that they did this and they didn't realize it, or that they did this and something happened, or somebody did this and added it because they're malicious or some kind of act? I mean, who knows? The point is that it's there. Think of it like sitting on the shelf right now. Did it get knocked in? Did somebody grab it? I mean, this is certainly a possibility. I'm joking when I say that, but the reality is it's there. Now it says, but the process of manufacturing a virus to spread a vaccine that protects human health could easily be distorted to develop one that creates a lethal human virus that spreads rapidly around the globe. That sounds pretty great. Historically, the weaponizing of this self-spreading vaccine technique has already been considered and possibly developed. Wait a minute. Historically, the weaponizing of the self-spreading vaccine technique has already been considered and possibly developed. That's what it says. South African scientists developed an anti-fertility vaccine, what do you know, to target certain populations during the apartheid era. Huh. And who do we know that was quietly involved with the South African apartheid era? Right? All the usual suspects, right? Now it says the sinister research was codenamed Project Coast. Now get this. This is mainstream media in the UK. South Africa's post-apartheid Truth and Reconciliation Commission was informed by the scientists that were working on that research that their project was in line with the WHO's attempts to control the global population boom. And that's where the article ends. Well, that's interesting. So there's either one or two ways to look at this, right? I mean, either the South African regime government, who was working with all the people that were, being supported by them, whether they admit it or not, were trying to use an anti-fertility vaccine against their enemies because they were told, or they thought, that it was in line, or it is in line, with the WHO's global population boom control. So we have to consider that if they're doing that, that didn't just randomly happen. There is somebody driving this agenda. And what's important to understand, guys, is the control of the global population boom. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is openly discussed. Openly. And I'm not even talking about Bill Gates and discussing how we can bring the population down. I'm talking about real world open discussions in think tanks and the WHO and the UN, where they openly discuss the concern about overpopulation. So when we're talking about this, it's not something you should scoff at. And when you're looking at an apartheid regime, sort of like Israel right now, and they're telling you that they were told, or they thought that they were in line with their efforts by using this vaccine. Were they part of a test? Were they administering a test? And who was guiding that test? Or did they really just think they were? I mean, there's so many questions. But everything about this, and this is reported by mainstream media, we have to realize, guys, that this is not some fringe conspiracy nonsense. This is a real world effort, whether you think it's done by the apartheid South African regime or by the United States government. People are trying to accomplish things right now using all of this, and have been for a really long time. People like Whitney Webb, myself, Derek, have been trying to get you to see this stuff for a decade. People like James Corbett, probably way longer than that. It's been there, guys. It's quite incredible. Now, here is just a couple smattering of other articles. There's a lot. It's all over the place, right? These are all from different years. 2020, like most of them 2020. Here's 2017. Vaccines of the future could be contagious as viruses, right? This is not a secret. And yet, it's in mainstream. Express writes about. Oh, excuse me. This is the same one. So nonetheless, the point is that they are writing about these years before and they still act like it's something new they'd never heard of. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they don't know how to do due diligence. But in any case, here is the 2016 discussion on NCBI, the National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. Self-disseminating vaccines for emerging infectious diseases. Now, I don't think I was going to go. I had two parts. That's right. I'll leave at the end. Yeah. Just simply to understand, the main point is simply to understand that this was being discussed, researched on a scientific level for 5 years now. Not new. Now, what it says here, the parts I was going to highlight, now it says disseminating vaccines are designed to exploit the ability of replicating virus-based vectors to spread through their animal host populations without the need for direct inoculation of every animal. In this strategy, vaccination of a limited number of founder animals is used for initial introduction of the vaccine into target populations. Replace human with animal right there. Sounds exactly like what might be happening right now. Just a thought. Now, going down here, it says under the five-year review, adaption of new technologies such as CRISPR will also greatly increase the ease and speed with which these new vaccine vectors can be constructed following identification of target pathogen. Well, seems the genetic modification aspect is clearly a huge part of this. And we see the tie. The idea is that this has been worked on this whole time. So ask yourself why this wasn't something that was brought up immediately, right? We're talking about mRNA vaccines. That's what this, well, you'll see in a minute. That's what this is logically talking about. And the idea that we have specific kinds. We have self-replicating mRNA vaccines. We have non-replicating mRNA vaccines. And it turns out that one of the first things they discovered was the self-replicating mRNA vaccine models. So why wasn't that the one that was introduced, right? Interesting, isn't it? You'll see what I mean as we go through this, but it seems quite clear that this is being tailored, right? So it's sort of like when they have something a little bit alarming, like injectable nano platforms, and they just go, oh, here's an Apple Watch. That's all we're talking about. That's all conspiracy theory, even though they have articles and discussions and document, entire videos about how these things are very real and DARPA's been working on them, right? They roll it out slowly. But I wish I could segue right into a part I'm thinking about right now, but I want to wait till the end. There's open discussions of people like Klaus Schwab openly telling you this was your future well before COVID-19. And now it's fake news, conspiracy theory. But here brings you to the most important one that everyone's been talking about, that Orwell shared with me multiple days ago, that I was really angry I didn't include in this show because it would have been even better. It would have been through the roof. But this is a really important one. I'm going to go through a couple points here. Johns Hopkins Bloomberg of School and Public Health. This is called Technologies to Address Global Catastrophic Biological Risks. And this is crazy stuff. Now, please go through and read this. It's well worth your time. There is some next level alarming stuff in this document. But just so you see where it is, as always, I want to include the loose moving document so you can see it. But I go through and I screenshot some of these so we can read what they have to say. Now, first, just recognize this is on their agenda. And we're not talking about animals anymore. Self-spreading vaccines. Now, I'm going to read that to you on the next part because it'd just be redundant if I read it here. But we're also talking about self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, otherwise known as SAM. SAM vaccines use the genome of a modified virus with positive sense RNA, which is recognizable to our human translation machinery. Once delivered inside a human cell, the SAM is translated and creates two proteins, an antigen of interest to simulate the immune response and a viral replicase for intracellular amplification of the vaccine. The ability of SAM to self-replicate returns in a stronger, broader, and more effective humoral and cellular immune response than some other vaccines. Now, this is different than talking about self-spreading vaccines. What this is talking about, but I do find there to be an interesting correlation here, is that we're talking about mRNA vaccines like the one we're talking about today with Moderna and Pfizer, but one that self-replicates, one that does not stop after one production of protein, the spike protein, right? Even though we're entirely, in my opinion, assuming that's what's happening now anyway. I really don't even understand why we take anything at face value from these career liars. And I'm talking about Pfizer. I'm talking about, well, Pfizer specifically, the fact that they've continually billions of dollars paid out in lies and crimes. And that's not easy to look up. I'm not going to show it again. I show it every day. Self-amplifying mRNA vaccines are something that we're talking about where they continue to replicate in your body. What does that remind you of? I don't know, cancer, right? Uncontrollable replication of cells sounds like something like cancer. But in this case, we're talking about something that would lessen the amount we put in, and then it would replicate fast. And then, okay, well, so how does it stop? I'm sure we have a plan for that, right? But the concept is these things are alarming. Now, let's jump down to some of the other parts of this that are equally alarming. This is just the intro. Now, I also wanted to show you very clearly, guys, that this is not even a secret. We're talking very openly discussed of self-spreading human vaccines. It's right there. Now, I'll show you multiple times. They write about it. But just so we're clear, that Johns Hopkins is openly discussing right underneath SAM vaccines, the ones that amplify themselves, self-spreading human vaccines. So what's funny is right now the discussion in the mainstream is that this is laughable. Like, this is so ridiculous that there's no truth to this. That doesn't even exist. That's what's happening right now in the reputable mainstream media journalists, right? As it's literally in a document that they just put out in Johns Hopkins. Think about how ignorant and stupid that is. My point is, I bet you most of them don't even know that. The Don Lemons out there, they don't know this stuff. They think they know what's going on because they were told by someone they think is an authority. Their entire idea of intelligence rests on trusting authority. That's not intelligence. That's dumb. It's ignorance. I use Don Lemon just because he's the one that we know is somebody who didn't want to even be a news anchor. That came out where he was like, I don't want that. They wanted him to be a news anchor. He said, no, I want to be entertainment news. And they said, well, no, we're going to put you here. He goes, okay. Really cares about the truth, that guy, you know? But, you know, CNN, Fox News, it's all the same, guys. Self-spreading human vaccines. Going to the next part. Here's about... Oh, really? Did I cut off the... Son of a gun. Okay, hold on. Just so you can see the headline there. I didn't mean to cut it off when I did the screenshot. Let's go down to 46 real quick. The only reason I do the screenshots is so I don't forget what I want to read. I don't want to make you guys wait as I thumb through the multiple paragraphs and forget where I was. Hold on. Here we go. There it is. Just important just to see the headline, right? Self-spreading vaccines. That is a straight up talking point in this document. Okay, now it says, what is the technology? Self-spreading vaccines, also known as transmissible or self-propagating vaccines, are generally engineered, to move through populations in the same way as communicable diseases. But rather than causing disease, they confer protection, or so we're told. The vision is that a small number of individuals in the target population, so people, could be vaccinated. And the vaccine strain, it sounds like we're talking about a virus here, would then circulate in the population much like a pathogenic virus. These vaccines could dramatically increase vaccine coverage in human or animal populations without requiring each individual to be inoculated. Oh, so the point is more people vaccinated, right? Doesn't really seem to, it's like you would think they'd go, and this will be beneficial to human life, and everybody, based on their narrative, no, it's we'll get more vaccines in arms, because that's what this is all about. It says this technology is currently aimed primarily at animals. But then it goes on to say, quite interestingly, oh, actually, see, I knew I did that. I jammed that in after the fact. Man, I really mixed this up, didn't I? Hold on. See, and then I pause anyway. See, I blew it. Anyway, there's 46 right here. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Yeah, okay, so that is the right page. So let's just jump to that. See, that's what I did both times. I cut off the top. Okay, so here's what it says right here. For human use, targeted release of weakly transmissible self-spreading vaccines early in an outbreak could create herd immunity, right? For human use. It's pretty clear. That's just where, now we continue, so you can see where I highlighted. It could create herd immunity in communities and prevent an outbreak from becoming a pandemic. If introduced later after an outbreak has become widespread, self-spreading vaccines could still help to protect susceptible individuals and limit the number of new cases and prevent catastrophic outcomes. Okay, but wait a minute. Doesn't that then mean that people that are not sick or people that might have already had a vaccine or had some other medication would just get this whether they want it or not? Right, this is similar to the idea they had, and it probably is already happening for all I know, that I covered years ago about the discussion from about making, and Monsanto was working on this, making plants that had medicines in them, or rather more specifically had chemicals in them, not medicine, they had drugs in them, like antidepressants. And this isn't a joke. This was worked on a decade ago, talking about making plants that had natural. And this is the time when we talked about the whole Monsanto seeds and the idea of like cross-pollinization and the Terminator concept, which is very real. The idea that these seeds were made to not replicate, right? Think about how relevant that it seems now. And the concept of the idea I just lost my train of thought, self-spreading Monsanto. Oh, right. The plants with drugs in them, you know, and this is something like the idea that this would just spread without your awareness is incredibly alarming. Not even talking about that. We know it's here now, but this is openly being discussed as your future. This is another Johns Hopkins document talking about the future and where it's going. Look at all the ones they've already done. Do you think those were hypothetical as we're literally living every single talking point that they said, this is what we should do. That's what they were going to do. And they let you know that. Open conspiracy, as most have come to call this now, because they're literally telling you what they're going to do. But here's where it gets even more insulting. They say, while self-spreading vaccines could help reduce illness and death in a severe pandemic, this approach comes with several big challenges. One important component of the current vaccination approach for humans is informed consent. Oh, you don't say. Well, seeing as how we're talking about informed consent, we have to bring that up again. Just because those who haven't seen it need to recognize that that's not happening. Right. So what's funny is here they are screaming about informed consent is important and we have to make sure that maintained, except we don't, because October 2020, the science says that they weren't doing it. Informed consent disclosure to vaccinate trial subjects of risk of COVID-19 vaccines worsening clinical disease. The gist of it, COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may in fact sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. Oops. Didn't hear about that one, did you? I wonder why the mainstream is not trusting this science. Well, it says, and this is a peer-reviewed, this is the kind of thing that they pretend that we should listen to, except when they say things they don't like. This is the main point. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk. Now realize that's not flowery language. That's not some hype. This is, they're not saying this possible risk like we hear from every other study from mainstream media. They're saying this very obvious, undeniable, specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement, which we keep talking about, should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to the people who are currently getting the vaccine or currently in trials, is what it basically says. After vaccine approval, which is we're in a weird quasi zone now where that's not happening, but people are getting it as if they was, right? So anybody at any stage of getting this vaccine should have been made aware of this, but they weren't, is what that says, in order to meet informed consent. There's the science for you guys. The science says that we are not being told what's going on. And we know this. We know this if you have two brain cells to rub together. But so recognize when they go, but informed consent, they don't care about that though. And that's why this next part's even more alarming. It says, in order to receive a vaccine, individuals must be informed about the risks of a vaccination by a healthcare provider, which they aren't doing, and provide their consent before being vaccinated, which right now half these people are feeling very coerced. Even if they do submit, not the same thing. Those who decline are not forced to receive a vaccine, except that's not true either, but we'll leave that for the moment. We know that's already happening. There's plenty of places in the world where that's absolutely the counter, where they're literally being forced, like those dementia patients in the nursing homes, or the fact that Israel's doing the similar thing, or India is doing a similar thing. Like, but nonetheless, their point is, well, hypothetically, in a world we pretend we're living in, you don't get forced to get this dangerous thing. But it says, in the case of self-spreading vaccines, the individuals directly vaccinated would have this option, right? So you get to choose, but those to whom the vaccine subsequently spreads would not. Sorry, I can't. It's in the corner left. Sorry, I can't zoom in anymore. Additionally, self-spreading vaccines would potentially infect individuals with contradictions. Contraindictions, so not like contradictions, but we discuss, I'll actually show you that when we get into the FDA document in a minute. They're talking about the... I don't even know what the exact definition is, but they're talking about issues, effects, as far as I understand it. I should just, when I get to that point, we'll look it up here in a second. Such as allergies that could be life-threatening, right? So they're basically talking about the adverse events, or the effects. But I want to look it up to get the exact definition because I like to do that. But clearly saying that, well, if we do this, well, we have to worry about, we don't have to worry about informed consent, or we should, but we can't. Because how in the world could we get everyone's consent? It's going to spread on its own. This is Johns Hopkins willingly telling you that this is your future. This is what they're telling you, or at least what they want it to be. Now, here's an even more alarming part. What we're talking about, drone technology for delivering stuff. This vaccine, these vehicles can carry a range of payloads and perform a wide variety of functions, right? So clearly, that's a possibility. I mean, we already talked about smart dust from 2004 on. That's the eighth of a grain, the size of a grain of salt. Is dust. It can be blown into the sky. You wouldn't even know. That's been happening for decades. Not that literally being blown into the sky. I don't know, probably. But the fact that stuff is available has been around since 2004 and before. So the idea that they're even bringing this up as some kind of like pandemic assistant is kind of scary to me. But here's the part that we already told you was coming. We warned you about this and people laughed. Drones are already used to monitor air and water quality and can be fitted with, guess what? Autonomous sample collection and analysis technologies like real-time PCR and sequencing platforms. Great. So you can have drones just sweeping over your territory and just testing everybody somehow. That's what they're saying. So then they'll be like, oh, this area is a problem. You guys all have to lock down based on the drone that flew over, right? They've been working on these corner. We talked about that early in the pandemic. There was already groups working on those like, street side corner pandemic sensors where they could sense in the air if there was a high level of toxin, right? That's what this is talking about. And apparently technologies like real-time PCR. I don't even know how that makes sense from a drone, but here, that's what they're talking about. I'm sure they worked it out, or they tell us they did. In any case, we're talking about drone testing. So you think testing's the problem now? Wait until you've got autonomous drones flying everywhere testing everything. But it says a deliberate aerosol release of a biological agent or a disruption to critical ecosystems, of course, could potentially go unnoticed until the effects were very harmful or even irreversible. So they're warning bad guys do bad things. Or maybe this is what we want you to think bad guys do. And this is something we might do. Just like the WEF, just like the article Whitney wrote about the plans. They think that the bad guy foreign states are going to do the very thing that we're planning to do, bring down the infrastructure, right? This is exactly what always happens. They shoot protesters and blame it on the bad guy government and say they shot protesters. Now we are going to go in. That's been proven. There's even evidence of the military, the Marines, in fact, shooting in Venezuela when that was the case. But there's all, this is so many discussions around the top. But the point is right here, they're telling you that, well, bad guys could do this. So we need drones everywhere all the time, testing all the time. That's their logic. Surveilling, testing, and analyzing diverse and remote ecosystems. With drone technology, this process could be largely automated. Well, I feel safe. How about you? Here's another one I found really alarming. Microarray patches for vaccine administration. Remember when they all said that was ridiculous and fake news? Right? It's not. It's always been there. It's a very obvious plan. It's been discussed. What was it called? Quantum dye dot tattoo, the discuss of the luciferase enzyme. These things are very real and they've been worked on forever. But of course, the mainstream's job is to disparage and dismiss things they don't want you to pay attention to. So here we are again with this very obvious thing. It's like a Band-Aid with spikes on it, and it administers vaccines as well as things that can monitor and track, which is one of the examples, not every time, but that was possible and that was discussed. But of course, they laugh about it and say it's ridiculous. Any case, there's a lot in this document, a lot. Ingestible bacteria for vaccination. That sounds great, right? They're working on all kinds of really alarming stuff. That's all generally rooted in like nanotech. A lot of these things involving the lipid nanoparticles and all this is the same. That lipid nanoparticle is apparently a completely one of the most important things that they discovered to say this changed the mRNA fields, as I understand it. At least that's what these articles were saying. Going down one more. Synthetic vaccinology, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, the safety, efficacy, and ease of manufacturing mRNA vaccines make them potentially attractive alternatives to vaccine methods. Using mRNA, which replicates, let's see, where's that part? The ability of SAM to self-replicate results in a stronger, broader, and more effective humoral. As far as I understand it, I don't see where they're discussing the concept of how this stops replicating. I'm sure it's written somewhere. But it alarms me, the idea that that's even something that's possible. Drone delivery to remote locations, which is already happening for the most part. In any case, there's a lot in here that really is quite crazy. But Pete Lincoln had some good comments, basically the same things I'm thinking. As he said, self-spreading vaccines, the solution to anti-vaxxers, right? Sure, that, you know, that's the conspiracy theory mindset, as they would put it, but doesn't seem too far off to what they've done in the past. Altering a common cold virus to create a spike protein once it infects those who get it from the vaxxed person. What could go wrong? How do I get off this planet? Right? And that's what this is discussing. I mean, it's really crazy. Altering a common cold virus to create a spike protein once it infects. This is about spreading from person to person. The very thing they're all laughing about right now. If Johnson & Johnson vaccine failed to deactivate by some error in production, their adenovirus DNA might replicate and shed. The DNA in this virus also codes for mRNA that makes the spike protein, so this is a plausible explanation. It's a great way to get vaxxed, unvaxxed, right? This is not a joke. The data's there. If they want to do this, they could do this. So I don't know why this would be regarded as some sort of absurdity unless there was something that they did not want you to see. I mean, that seems pretty clear to me. Not that this is 100% the case, but that there's, in my opinion, something a little bit odd happening in the way that they're seemingly dancing around the reality of this, which is pretty much what they did around all these things. Even the discussion of mRNA, even the idea of nanotechnology, right? They're acting like this is so, I mean, they're bringing out things that are the size of a grain of rice and acting like this is the next level technology for nanotech. That is absurd, as we have dust that you can't even see with the human eye, or, you know, barely, I guess, if it's an eighth the size of a grain of salt, I would argue it's pretty damn hard, in 2004. But this brings us to the idea of these self-amplifying mRNA vaccines and whether or not there's some kind of correlation here, because this has been worked on since 2015. Remember, 2016 was the one we were talking about a moment ago. 2016 was the self-disseminating vaccines, right? Let's do this real quick. I didn't think to search for that term. I didn't think it was in there. These are different concepts, but nonetheless, self-amplifying. I was searching for that just in case maybe it popped up in there. 2015. Self-amplifying mRNA vaccines are essentially talking about a vaccine that is pretty much like the one we're dealing with today, or so we're told. I mean, God, we all assume all these things, I guess, but that replicates continually on its own, which is supposed to be better for you, apparently. It says this chapter highlights the rapid process made in using non-viral delivery systems for RNA-based vaccines. All the way back in 2016, right? So this is the kind of stuff that they were playing with that killed all those children, or that killed all those ferrets, all these different times they were testing these different styles of vaccines that RFK Jr.'s talked about, that Del Bigtree's talked about. Yet this is now being coined as the next step. So how does that make sense? Initial preclinical testing of self-amplifying mRNA vaccines has shown non-viral delivery to be capable of producing potent and robust innate and adaptive immune responses. Historically, the prospect of developing mRNA vaccines was uncertain due to concerns of mRNA instability. Wow, it's a valid concern. And the feasibility of large-scale manufacturing, also a valid concern. Today, these issues are no longer perceived as barriers. Well, I think that Pfizer would feel differently, wouldn't they? Seeing as how that's clearly still happening. We just talked about this from the Sputnik article. Around, there's a lot in this article. I'm going to go show you the source material, though, after this. Is Pfizer quietly targeting other vaccines while holding back on its own safety record? Well, they go into the point where clearly Pfizer and Moderna, by the way, are catastrophically more damaging right now than AstraZeneca and J&J. Even though they're giving less in general, this percentage-wise, it's way higher. So it's funny and quite telling that they decide to poke out and pick out AZ and J&J and not care at all about all of the through-the-roof reports that we're getting. Yes, reports on theirs, but still 1%, right? Even if those, some of them may be lies, mistakes. The point is that it's undeniable. These are being far more reports than anything we've ever seen. But that's in there. Read it for yourself. I talked about it in the last show. The point was this, in layman's terms, low RNA integrity, not, and these are from leaked documents from 2021. The European Medical Agency, leaked documents. Low RNA integrity not only means that this is the Pfizer vaccine, the Comirnaty, has a low concentration of active substance, but also that more than 40% of mRNA is unstable and can produce random and harmful instructions in the body. Gee, I wonder if that's happening right now. Leaked documents also show that Pfizer tried to overcome that problem by, you know what, increasing the dosage. You know, like all those people that got overdoses, which led to a higher percentage of inflammatory cases, like thrombocytopenia, paroxysm, and other adverse events. Well, very interesting, right? So it doesn't really seem like that barrier has been crossed, or maybe they just said it was, because, you know, Pfizer lies about a lot of stuff, as we've seen over and over in their own documentation. You can look for yourself. But, oh, son of a gun. Well, that's really frustrating. Okay, I got to translate it again. Dang it. Well, in any case, this was what we were going to go over. What documents say about COVID? This is the Monday article where they actually have the documents. I'm sure I could pick out the main point here. Hold on. There was the getting into the numbers. Okay. So it says, indeed, to move from a clinical stage to a commercial stage, manufacturers have had to change their manufacturing processes, right? So right there, recognize what they're saying is what they did in the lab did not translate into real world, like real life. So they got numbers that they said 95 and everyone's success. Oh, even though that was lessening symptoms. And I haven't seen any real world example that that's even happening, which doesn't mean anything about whether it saves you, cures you, protects you. Right? I mean, it's just nonsense. But they, after the clinical stage, they, as it says, they had to change their manufacturing process. So was there an entire new safety or, you know, efficacy trial after they did that? No, they just ran with the same numbers. Then it says they have also invested in new production lines and new factories, right? Now, this was after the EMA, European Medical Agency, called them out. Where was it up here? For, I had all this stuff highlighted, dang it. For problems. They had problems with their labs, they had issues where things were unsanitary. And we're not even talking about the J&J stuff. We're talking about Pfizer back then, where they had issues with the labs and you know, all sorts of different things. So that's what we're talking about here, where they had to change and new production lines and all these different things. And I don't know why that had no effect and why the media didn't care to report that. These modifications could explain the differences in exact composition of vaccines. Great. So the vaccines are different depending on where they're made or how they're made or when they're made or, you know, they're different. In particular, a decrease in the degree of integrity of the RNA. This is a crucial element of the vaccine, which once injected into cells makes it possible to make the spike protein. It says the vaccines used in clinical trials have between 69% and 81% intact RNA. That is the entire sequence used to make the spike protein. On the other hand, data on the batches produced in the new production lines, guess what? Revealed lower percentages, 59 on average. Half almost. Some lots even went down to 51%, 52%. So half the time, not enough integrity, which means it doesn't work, which means, as they say, it is unstable and can produce random and harmful instructions to the body. I don't know. I wonder why that information is not shared. Leaked documents, which means they didn't even want to tell you that the very agency, the European Medical Agency, that's supposed to keep you safe is hiding things from you because they're working for your safety. That sure makes sense, doesn't it? Well, of course, when you dig into this entire article, which I was going to go over, but I don't want to read it all through right now to find it, it's clear that this documentation is accurate, that it aligns with other things that have been said after this, and that's what the points they make. Nonetheless, it's laughable to me that here is how the EMA tried to hide this, in my opinion. Cyber attack on the EMA. Of course. The ongoing investigation of the cyber attack on the EMA revealed that some of the unlawfully accessed documents, which is what Lamonde talks about at the top, that they sought these out, confidential documents stolen from the EMA, that they ended up on the dark web, and they found most of them, and they went over them in this document. That's what it was. Now, they're saying they've been leaked on the internet, but then it says this is my, in my opinion, one of the first iterations of like the deep fake kind of ploy, right? This included internal confidential email responses dating back from November relating to the evaluation process for COVID vaccines. Guess what? Some of the correspondences had been manipulated by the perpetrators prior to publication in a way which could undermine trust in vaccines. Or you got caught hiding leaked documents that you didn't want us to see, so you act like they were altered. Because you know why that's easy? Because we don't have the originals to compare to. We only get the leaked ones. So if they were altered, share the originals so you can show us that that's not the case. Ah, but they won't do that. I wonder why. But the point is, nonetheless, that as Lamonde points out, that this documentation clearly holds true to today. Of course, it's, one of those bad guy foreign actors that are working with domestic terrorists from the inside to undermine vaccine confidence, create vaccine hesitancy. That's the narrative right there. The cyber attacks and the infrastructure, the Great Reset, the domestic terrorists working with the foreign entities. We told you from the beginning, this would all swing together. Kind of ridiculous. But going forward, here it is from 2020. So 2016, 2020, or 15, 2020. Self-amplifying RNA viruses as RNA vaccines. Preclinical and clinical applications of self-amplifying RNA viral vectors have proven efficient for vaccine development, and due to the presence of RNA replicons, amplification of RNA in host cells will generate superior immune responses with significantly reduced amounts of RNA delivered. The need for novel and efficient vaccines has become even more evident due to global COVID-19 pandemic. So based on what they're saying, why then do they choose to go with the one that's not as superior, according to their narrative? Right? So if this will generate superior immune responses to the ones they're currently doing, why then did they choose to go with the other one? Good question, isn't it? I mean, it's certainly possible that this is the one. That's certainly possible too. Maybe these are SAM vaccines and we're just being lied to, or there's something else happening. Maybe there was a reason they wanted one that wasn't like this, so it could be used in a different way. Clearly, there's some odd things happening that no one really wants to explain or talk about. Here's an interesting correlation. From August 2020, development of a potential Zika virus vaccine using self-amplifying messenger RNA. What do you know? Right? Zika, with all the random things that happened around that was wildly overblown. Maybe that's what happened. It says Zika virus in the case of pandemic associated with, remember, microcephaly in newborns. And of course, Guillain-Barré syndrome. Of course. It's not like we haven't seen that caused by like every vaccine ever, but now it's just because of Zika. No, maybe it was because of something else happening around Zika, but who knows? We'll never know because we never get the truth from our media, from the government, or from the agencies or institutions that make these things or enforce them. They're all part of the same group or agenda. Make that easier for people to understand. Here is RNA vaccine on Wikipedia, which I'll always remind people is not even allowed as a source material for a college paper. At least it wasn't when I was in that time frame. Right? I mean, that's ridiculous. Seeing as how YouTube videos will post Wikipedia links under there to verify what they're doing, or the government will, if it's not an allowable source for college papers, how is it possible it's guiding truth for everything on YouTube or the government? Clearly because they control what this is. That's not even a secret, guys. This is hardly, people can try to get, they will keep it the way they want it to, like about conspiracy theorists or whatever else, regardless of who taps in and tries to update, they'll change it back. It's clearly about the narrative. So just so you know that, make sure this is just because it's here doesn't mean it's true. It means it's got mass adoption. But here's what it says. The use of RNA as a vaccine tool was apparently discovered in 1990s, but discovered in the form of self-amplifying RNA, mRNA. Again, so they discovered the first time the one that they're telling us was better, more robust, less RNA injected, on and on and on. I just find that very strange, don't you? But that's not the one that we're testing, or so we're told. It has also emerged that the different routes of injection, such as, guess what, into the skin, blood, or muscles, results in varying levels of mRNA uptake, making the choice of administration route a critical aspect of delivery. Now, of course, you could argue that this is just, you know, an injection into the skin, but you realize your skin is very thin. Blood is typically how these things are injected. Muscles are how we're being told, intramuscular in your arm, your shoulder, right? But let's not miss what it says right there. Into your skin. So if you're pretending that you can inject with a needle into your skin, which goes like a millimeter under your skin anyway, and you somehow can't catch that or have that pass into your skin in any other way, doesn't make sense to me. My point is, if this can be injected into the skin, so too can it go into your skin by being put on your skin, because skin is porous and that's what happens. So it's interesting to argue that these vaccines can be administered via the skin. Don't you find that relevant to the discussion today? Lipid nanoparticle vectors, it says, the first time the FDA approved the use of lipid nanoparticles as a drug delivery system was in 2018, when an agency approved the first self, with SI, was that self, that's, no, the self-replicating was, let's see. In any case, I don't want to waste too much time here, but I want to make sure that was accurate. SI, let's just do this. There it is. Small interfering RNA. Okay. Sometimes known as short interfering. So the agency approved the first small interfering RNA drug, Onpattro, encapsulating the mRNA molecule in lipid nanoparticles, was the critical breakthrough for producing viable mRNA vaccines. So remember, the lipid nanoparticle is a very big part of the problem here. We talked about the polyethylene glycol and how even Wikipedia says that potentially 70% of Americans could have allergic reactions to that. But let's just use it anyway, right? Because it's a breakthrough for your chemical injection. Because it's about safety, though, right? So we use this thing that we know is going to hurt people because it makes our product work. And then we just sell it to you as not worth it. The benefits outweigh the risks, right? Solving a number of key technical barriers in developing the mRNA molecule into the host cell, right? So the lipid nanoparticle made this what it is. Research into lipids and to deliver siRNA to cells became foundational for similar research using lipids to deliver our mRNA. Quite interesting and telling, I think. But here, under future outlook, is something very important. Now, this is a document about an update on self-amplifying mRNA vaccine technology, which brings us basically to today. Published January 2021, going back down to the last part of this. Again, this is a lot. There's a lot of valuable information in here that you should read. Cutting to the chase, future outlook. While historical pre-2015 preclinical studies of SA, which was the self-amplifying RNA vaccines, were predominantly focused on viral replicon particles and cancer applications. The field has more recently shifted to applications in viral infectious diseases. So it's interesting, right? So it's shifted now because this seems to be the focal point about vaccines and infectious diseases. It says, although a few studies have also explored prevention of parasitic and bacterial infections. It says the investigation of self-amplicating RNA for passive immunization, so like the same thing we're talking about with self-spreading, it sounds like, by encoding a monoclonal antibody is also a highly promising application that warrants further development. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to mean that, but passive immunization is an interesting term right there. It says the clinical trials for rabies and SARS-CoV-2 are an exciting opportunity for the field of self-amplifying RNA vaccines. What do you know? Sort of like all the rest of it, right? Sort of like when Pfizer and them said, you know, without this pandemic, we would have never got this thing off its feet, right? It gave us everything we needed to test in Israel, the world's lab, and on and on, right? It's perfect opportunity. What do you know? And will no doubt be informative as to the characteristics of the immune response required dose, duration of immunity, and required regimen. The field is also starting to consider methods to modulate the innate response to self-amplifying RNA, which will no doubt be imperative to the clinical success of these vaccines, so that the lesson of DNA vaccine clinical trials are not forgotten. One strategy that may facilitate efficacious self-amplicating RNA vaccines is utilizing evaluation models such as skin explants, which explants ultimately, just going to read it, what it says. It's talking about something that goes like in, basically it says right here, transfer from animals to plants to a nutrient medium. Talking about living cells, tissues, or organs. Explanted. The explanted lungs were collected by the transplantation team. So it's like taking them out, I guess. Skin explants that have human immune cells and innate sensing in order to optimize molecular and delivery components. But it also, I mean, you tell me whether that seems to sound like something that goes in your skin, but it says, while the SARS-CoV-2 global pandemic has been detrimental to economies and health. No, the government has. The government's actions around that is what has been detrimental to economies and health. It's provided a valuable opportunity, of course it has, to test self-amplifying RNA vaccines in the clinical that otherwise might not have taken, that might have taken decades. Well, what do you know? What a serendipitous situation. Well, they just get to happen to test this on all sorts of things they never would have had if this wasn't happening. Given the short time span required to design and test new self-amplifying RNA vaccines, reportedly as little as 14 days in the case of Imperial College London, what do you know? Isn't that perfect? Imperial College London is currently working on self-amplifying RNA vaccine. You know, it's almost like they did, you know, because it's not like they're the ones that perpetuated this entire thing from the beginning. Maybe it's because they had a profit motive, or maybe it's because they're part of the illusion. Who knows? But it's impossible to miss the continual involvement of the Imperial College of London and the in the explicit perpetuation of the lie, the illusion. It says, it is clear that this platform is particularly well-suited to outbreaks. This platform, as always, and also possibly seasonal vaccines. What do you know? It's suited to outbreaks like this right now, or seasonal vaccines like they're going to do with COVID or like they're going to do with the flu, such as influenza. The rapid and easy manufacture of self-amplifying RNA vaccines may also pave the way for a distributed manufacturing model where vaccines are produced locally in order to minimize logistical and cold chain issues that could hinder widespread distribution of a vaccine. While immense progress was made in RNA vaccine technology in 2020, the main limitations are now stability, which requires storage at 80 degrees C, for more RNA formulations and minimizing the required dose in order to reduce associated side effects. Right, we already talked about the, looks like a path of the RNA being not, you know, unstable, basically, according to their own leaked documents. Overall, it says self-amplifying RNA vaccines have made monumental strides in the past 5 years. And the next 5 years will be telling as to the clinical utility and success of the promising vaccine platform. Pretty interesting, isn't it? The thing they discovered first is now suddenly becoming the future. Even though this one, I mean, it's something very strange. And you know what? To finish this one segment off, it's already being tested. So to my point from the beginning, if it's already being tested right now in the real world on chimpanzees, is it not possible that this could have already been self-amplified? That it could have already happened? It says chimpanzee adenovirus and self-amplifying mRNA prime boost prophylactic vaccines against SARS-CoV-2 start on March 1st, 2021. Guess who's involved? The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID. National Institute, that and they're the responsible party, in fact. But it says right here, only in the United States. Study to examine safety and tolerability and immunogenicity of investigational chimpanzee adenovirus serotype 68 and self-amplifying mRNA vectors expressing either severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus spike alone, again, or spike plus additional SARS-CoV-2 cell epitopes in healthy adult subjects. Chimpanzees we're talking about, or so we're told. The point is, clearly, we're talking about yet again, this time using self-replicating vaccines, but with the spike protein, right? So imagine that spike protein that we're talking, or at least the instructions to create the spike protein. We're talking about that being the problem right now. We've already went over the entire shows on how that is clearly the and their own studies have shown you this, and I'll show you one. I'll get into this one right here next. Again, just to reiterate that point, what the reality is, that is an issue. It is their science is showing you that this spike alone is clearly the problem. That's what's causing these things in regard to SARS-CoV-2. So when you're creating a vaccine that creates the spike protein, just like the one in SARS-CoV-2 that they're telling us is causing all these problems, well, why wouldn't you assume that that then would cause those problems? That seems utterly ridiculous. So then add, you have a vaccine like this or an injection that is self-replicating those things, not just one time, but clearly more than once. What happens then? Is this going to expedite the problem? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because, guys, it's already being tested. So if we're concerned about the shedding in general, and we're taking this kind of thing that's going to rapidly spread in your own body, well, I think we get to a point where there's more than enough concern here to ask questions, to wonder whether or not what we're seeing in the world that perfectly correlates with this exact issue is actually happening. But no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to today. You can't ask these questions. You can't talk about this discussion. You can't even argue that this is something that's possible because you will be screamed at as an anti-science, anti-vax conspiracy theorist because they're desperate to control the narrative. And you understand, I'm not even saying that I know for sure this is happening. I'm just wanting to discuss the topic, and we're not even allowed to. I don't know why that doesn't show everybody what we need to see. But to this point, again, to reiterate this, I went over at least five or six different studies, and I'll show you another one after this as well, that talks about how it's about the spike protein. Of course, they're trying to make it about the long haulers, but here's what it says, the most important takeaway. Quote, we found that exposure to the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein alone was enough to change baseline gene expression in airway cells. Talking about specifically your lungs in this case and how it basically hurts your lungs this is exactly the issue, guys. If the spike protein alone can do that, and the vaccine's creating that spike protein alone in your body, I don't understand why this is hard to wrap people's mind around. I don't understand it. Here's another point from Salk. The novel coronavirus spike protein plays additional key role in illness. Gets worse. Salk researchers and collaborators show how the protein damages cells. Great. So that spike protein they're now producing in your body, hopefully only once, is damaging your cells too. Confirming COVID-19 as a primarily vascular disease, right? So of course, it's all centered around the COVID-19 discussion. Nobody in the media sphere, mainstream, wants to even dive into the possibility that this could also translate or very obviously suggest that the same thing in something else could cause the same problem. This is like somebody with their eyes closed. It's like that picture of the monkeys with ears plugged, eyes covered, mouth shut. It's like, we won't see it. La, 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 la. We don't want to look. It's clearly there. They're doing that with everything today. It's pretty embarrassing, in fact. This is from December 2020. And this is the article, the research that they're talking about. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein impairs endothelial function via downregulation of the ACE2. Now, if we understand the ACE2 is ultimately the spike protein, and the ACE2 is the primary aspect here and how this works. And what's interesting, if you remember that Whitney Webb has talked about the concept of this and how the higher prevalence of the ACE2 in people's lungs in certain parts of the world, interesting discussion. I can't stress for you enough to go back and look at her work on The Last American Vagabond as well as Unlimited Hangout and see how much of this has been talked about long before it was even circulating in the independent media. Now, the SARS-CoV-2 infection relies on the binding of spike protein to the ACE2 in its host cells. We show here that the spike protein alone can damage vascular endothelial cells by itself, either in your body or in the lab, manifested by impaired mitochondrial function, decreased ACE2 expression and ENOS activity, and increased glycolysis. Thus, the spike protein exerted vascular endothelial damage via ACE2 downregulation overrides the decreased virus inactivity. So it's hurting you, right? So it's increasing, it's damaging your cells. It's in fact seemingly overriding any positive aspect of this is not happening the way that they're telling you it is. Now, this is in regard to SARS-CoV-2. Right? But we're talking about the same thing in the vaccine. It's pretty damn obvious to me. This was the same. I'm going to go ahead and skip past this just because what I was going to do is read more right here. It says the same thing, but more just elaborates more. But this is the same study. I should have said that to begin with. This is a preprint, so it's not peer reviewed, right? This is why they essentially put this like a screenshot. It's coming out, and they will be putting the whole thing out there and so on. But here's the links. You can look at it for yourself. But this is science, and they are finding that there's issues here, and they're being ignored. Now, here's what Andrew Bostom, MD, MS, academic internist and epidemiologist and author of Non-Medical Tomes, writes and cites the same article that we just talked about. It says that this published review cautions against mass COVID-19 vaccination of healthy persons at low COVID-19 risk with spike protein-induced vaccines, given at least one serious potential long-term adverse development, pulmonary artery hypertension. It all seems to be tailored on your lungs, doesn't it? It's odd to me, especially going back to the beginning of all this, the discussions of vaping and the weird correlation there. There's clearly something going on. But this one I already showed you, but this is very important to reiterate because this one is unequivocal. On MDPI, SARS-CoV-2 spike protein elicits cell signaling in human host cells. Only honest one I've seen that dares to put out the obvious implications for possible consequences of COVID-19 vaccines. Oh, you didn't hear about this in the mainstream media? Ask yourself why that is. Published on January 11, 2021. Pretty interesting. Now it says SARS-CoV-2 uses its spike protein to enter the host cells. Vaccines that introduce the spike protein into our body, like Moderna and Pfizer and all the rest of the spike protein vaccines we've talked about, to elicit virus neutralizing antibodies introduce the spike protein into our body to elicit virus neutralizing antibodies that are currently being developed. In this article, we note that human host cells sensitively respond to the spike protein to elicit cell signaling. Thus, it is important to be aware that the spike protein produced by the new COVID-19 vaccines may also affect the host cells, which is exactly what this separate study also found. It goes on to say, we should monitor the long-term consequences of these vaccines carefully, especially when they are administered to otherwise healthy individuals. Further investigations of the effects of the spike protein on human cells and appropriate experimental animal models are warranted. I agree. Now, that's why they jam through these so-called animal trials in a matter of months or less, which is ridiculous, just like everything else, and claim that we don't. Now it shows that we're not certain that it affects their reproductive. What's the term they use? Reproductibility. That's not right. But in any case, in the documentation, now it shifts, and I'll show you that in a minute, where they say it differently. But up until January, it was saying that we don't know because we didn't do animal trials, and that's what people kept lying about. In any case, it's quite clear that this is something we should be concerned about, and no one tells you other than the independent media. And there's a reason we should be concerned, because there's a lot happening right now that could be coincidence. That's always possible. But with how much we're seeing right in line alongside each other, it's almost impossible, in my opinion, that this is not somehow correlated with something that's happening out there right now. Now, look, one of these things that I saw someone talk about, and this is one of the arguments being made, at least by the mainstream, is that ultimately there's the possibility that this is somehow sympathy, where they talk about women in dorms that have their menstrual cycles line up if they live together long enough and so on. And they're saying that, oh, well, people have, my friend got vaccinated, but I didn't, and I somehow had this weird menstrual issue. It's like, okay, is it possible that was just because they felt bad for them or they had sympathy for something? Sure. But to happen this wide, this far spread, and this many reports, I find that impossible to believe. But just so you hear what people are saying. Now it says, this is the defender. Do COVID vaccines disrupt women's menstrual cycles? Experts say it's plausible. COVID vaccines could disrupt menstrual cycles and call for clinical trials to track and monitor changes, which is true. They've already called for clinical trials, and there's plenty of experts that have said this seems plausible. That's why you'll laugh in a minute when I show you what the mainstream is saying. Fact check. Researchers are calling for clinical trials to check and document menstrual changes in vaccinated women after some women reported changes to their menstrual cycles after receiving the COVID vaccine. Women have reported hemorrhagic bleeding with clots. Sound familiar? Delayed or absent periods, sudden premenopausal symptoms, right? We already told you about somebody close to me that just said they've been on menopause for 4 years. and just suddenly had their period because their husband was vaccinated and they weren't. Or the fact that somebody even closer to me has said that they felt like they were about to have their period again after years and years of being long past that. Very strange. I mean, you ask around, my bet is you'll find someone that's seeing something like this. Now, does that guarantee that it's because of the vaccine? No. But it seems pretty odd that it's happening to multiple people in multiple different situations around the administration of some experimental injection. But it says, quote, in terms of why women would have a heavier cycle, it says, I think we don't know the answer to that, according to Heather Huddleston, Dr. Heather Huddleston. Says, however, we do know, in addition to hormones being really important in a menstrual cycle, that there's a role for the immune system in the uterus. If there are changes, perhaps due to the vaccine, maybe that would subtly affect the behavior of the immune system in the uterus. A researcher at the University of Illinois described her own experience on Twitter and asked if others experienced menstrual changes after vaccination. This is what started a lot of this. The response was robust. So she and her colleague at Washington University in St. Louis turned it into a formal study, a survey, actually. Now it says, so far, there's no data linking COVID vaccines to changes in menstruation. But two Yale University experts wrote in the New York Times last week that there could be a connection. So this is not like unheard of. In fact, this is something that's plausible. But we're willing to admit that there's not a data connection here, correlation. But that's enough to look into at the very least. My point in saying that is you'll find the media mainstream, obviously, as usual, doing the exact opposite of that, screaming about the answer that you have to listen to and saying everyone else is fake news. Quote, there are many reasons vaccination could alter menstruation, wrote Alice Lou Culligan, a medical doctor and a PhD at Yale University of Medicine. It says, and Dr. Randy Epstein, writer in residence at Yale School of Medicine. God, anybody with that name must just be absolutely horrified for the rest of their life. They have to struggle with that. Every time you even read that name, you're like, ugh, right? It says vaccines are designed to ignite an immune response and the female cycle is supported by the immune response. So it's possible vaccines could temporarily change the normal course of events. Now, this is just about women getting it themselves and having this change, not on the topic of having that then transfer to somebody else, right? But just the overarching point should be simply that we're well aware that this is possible. Knowing that these vaccines are possible, that they have been made, and the fact that we have things like self-amplifying mRNA, and these are all, the discussion is possible. That's absolutely something we have to admit. But in this case, we're only so far talking about women getting it after getting vaccinated. Now, here's what's funny. Even that discussion, not even talking about being spread to somebody else. Well, actually, no, this was that point. I should have done this one first. Which one? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so the point is, I guess we're going to the one about interacting with them. But what's funny is it does say something. And that's right. I forgot what the main point was in this article right here in the beginning. But it says, fact check USA Today, because we know how good they are about this. No, interacting with a vaccinated person won't cause miscarriage or menstrual changes, despite there being plenty of evidence, not proof, but evidence of that possibly happening. Right? That's a reality. There's been all sorts of reports. We showed you the one about the woman with her baby, right? That was a report on Bayer's, which was seemingly confirmed by the doctor at the time, or the fact that there's the example of people getting all sorts of other things. There's so many of them. People that are getting rashes or incidents. There's lots of reports. None of these things verified yet. Doesn't mean we should ignore it. Doesn't mean we should blindly take it at face value either, though. But here's the point. It says, I'm the only person in my office at work who has been vaccinated. This is a post on Facebook, and I'm not planning to get it. This is the one they're debunking. So I'm surrounded by vaccinated people. I had a miscarriage a few months back, and my periods have been extremely inconsistent and very different than my previous periods in life. So obviously a few months back still puts the vaccinations experimentally, still experimental, but I guess trial still, well, I take that back too. We're in a trial still. But the guise of being in a trial started on January 20th. I'm forgetting the date now. Remember January, I think it was 11th or 13th, Moderna got the genetic code from China. 2 days later, they started testing the vaccine or producing one they were going to test. So all the way back in January forward, we know we had a possibility this thing was out there in someone's arm. But going forward from January 2021 forward, of course, then it was in the real world and being used on people all over the place under the guise that it was okay, even though that's impossible to know right now. So that's something that's certainly possible. But it says, one image purports to explain how vaccinated person is able to influence so much. And they see viral shedding. Says, a week ago, we spent the day with a family who had Moderna and J&J recently. 3 days later, our kids got sick. It didn't connect the dots on possible viral shedding until my period was late. Pretty interesting. But it says, it doesn't mean we prove any of that, though, right? It says claims of the COVID-19 vaccine causing miscarriage or infertility in women, look at this, have been debunked by the USA Today. Now, look at what they're saying here. They're not saying the transmission of it. What they're first iterating that we debunked the general topic of this causing infertility or miscarriage. They've debunked that, they say. Those claims, however, centered around a woman herself getting vaccinated. Right. Okay. So menstrual changes to be expected after COVID-19. Right. So what they're saying right there is that this is not possible. Like there's not even the miscarriage. We have very clear examples of people getting the vaccine and having almost an immediate issue, which then ends up being a miscarriage or a stillbirth or on and on. There is a whole bunch of them on theirs. But according to the USA Today, they debunked it. Now, let me ask you this. How is it possible they could debunk that? Are you telling me USA Today went and spoke to every one of these women who reported it? That they did autopsies? That they looked at medical records? Of course they didn't. They're reiterating the narrative. Trust the dogma, right? Trust the dogma, guys. So it's insulting to pretend like USA Today debunked anything. But going forward, it says, while a person infected with COVID-19 does shed virus with coughing, sneezing, or talking, a vaccinated person doesn't carry or transmit any disease-causing particles. Okay, so that's the statement by USA Today. Do they know, as a matter of fact, that this vaccine is not capable of that? No, they're telling you what they were told. Are we pretending USA Today has a lab where they're testing these vaccines? No, they're not. They're telling you what Pfizer told them. And what the government reiterates, because they trust both, because that's what good journalists do, right? They trust what they're told. Of course they do, in the mainstream anyway. So the reality is to pretend that we know that's not possible is ridiculous, because we've already seen an unbelievable amount of people who immediately get sick and people around them who then get sick. This has been in Israel. We've talked about all of this. I'm not saying I can prove that's 100% the case. But I'm also not saying that I can prove it's not. They are happy to say they can prove it's not without actually proving it's not. It says experts say changes to women's reproductive health because of the supposed exposure are pure fiction. Here's why. A vaccine is not contagious. But remember, we just talked about the fact that, yeah, in fact, there sort of are, based on the technology that we know is possible, right? So to pretend like they can't spread and act like that's so utterly ridiculous is a little bit of a lie, isn't it? Here's what he says. There is no sort of mechanism that would even exist that would suggest in any way a vaccine could be transferred. A microbiologist and professor of molecular genetics at Duke University. Okay, I'm sorry, Caroline, you're wrong. Because right there. It's right there. New technology that develop vaccines that spread themselves. Okay, so again, this microbiologist is either woefully uninformed, didn't do their due diligence, or they're lying to you for some reason. It's right in front of you. So to pretend, again, that there's no sort of mechanism that would even exist that would suggest in any way that a vaccine could be transferred is a lie, or she doesn't know what she's talking about, because it's right in front of you. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? So this is exactly like the idea of Bill Gates' wife saying, there's not even something like that that exists. It's like, yeah, here's 30 examples of it. They're hoping that you're stupid enough to blindly take what they say at face value, just like they're stupid enough to blindly take what the authorities tell them at face value. They call that intelligence in the mainstream elitist circles. He goes on to say, she, or lead to a sequence of events that would alter pregnancy or menstrual cycle. Right. So in both cases, to act like that's utterly ridiculous, to argue that a vaccine being administered would lead to some kind of a menstrual cycle change is obviously also not so ridiculous, seeing as how they're currently telling you that that's something to expect. Experts say, okay, I guess she's not an expert then. Sorry, Caroline, because experts say, according to this mainstream outlet, that they expect that. But here you are saying that there's no mechanism that even exists that would lead to altering pregnancy or menstrual cycle, according to this expert. Kind of funny, isn't it? Well, going forward, the reality is it's all over the place. Here is the New York Times. No, we don't know if vaccines change your period. Okay, Caroline says she knows for sure. But the New York Times says, but no one can say whether this may explain potential post-vaccine disruptions to the menstrual cycle. To find out, we would need a controlled study with a placebo group. Okay, so Caroline conducted a controlled study with a placebo group? No, she didn't. So why is she stating that then? Because these people have an agenda. Isn't that funny? I mean, right now they're contradicting themselves because they're all over the place. I don't even think the mainstream is aware of where they should be right now. It says clinical trials, including those for vaccines, typically omit the tracking of menstrual cycles. So we lack the evidence required to put these reports in context. Oh, well, isn't that interesting? So they didn't even study whether this would affect your menstrual cycles, but somehow people like Caroline are willing to scream that that's so stupid, even though there's no data to suggest one way or the other, and we need a clinical trial to find that out. Oh, you mean like what they're doing now? Researchers have launched a study to find out if COVID-19 vaccines are causing menstrual cycle changes. Here's the Daily Mail. Scientists launched study to find out if COVID-19 vaccines are causing period changes after hundreds of women notice irregularities. Carol Kahn, you had him. I love giving him a hard time. Like I would love it if someone like this was in my chat because it's just like, I want to just beat them down with this. It's so insulting that they will sit here and act all high-minded on their ivory towers and scream at you about what you should believe and tell you that there's not even a mechanism for that. And all of it is right in front of you. It's incredible. Even the mainstream telling you, nope, that's what's going on. And so if they're right now currently investigating whether or not that's happening, how is it possible that anyone anywhere can claim that it's ridiculous and not possible? That's what's ridiculous. The mainstream media is what's ridiculous. Dr. Catherine Clancy and Dr. Catherine Lee said they both experienced abnormal periods after getting their COVID-19 vaccine. These were the two that did the survey that we mentioned a minute ago. When they described their experience on Twitter, hundreds of women replied. Hundreds with menstrual cycles were also abnormal directly following the shot. As of Monday, more than 25,000 women have completed the questionnaire. Experts say there is currently no documented link between COVID-19 vaccine periods and no danger. Experts say we ignore the science about the blood clots. Experts say we ignore the danger of the anaphylactic shock. Experts say we ignore the issues about thrombosis and clots and blood and on and on and on. But no danger, though, because experts say. That is criminal. I mean, literally, how in the world can they? That's what medical misinformation looks like. No danger. I mean, literally anything you could argue is some percent, but no, this vaccine is the safest thing you've ever seen in your life, apparently, right? So I can go on again. I made that point a while back. If I could make an entire show about where I make up a bunch of lies about the vaccine, but err on the side of positive. And I say this vaccine will stop every disease for the rest of your life. Right? This vaccine will make you so healthy, you'll never need to see a doctor again. This vaccine, you think they would censor that? Of course they wouldn't. There's plenty of that already on YouTube right now. Just like this. No danger. Fake news. Some people are reporting abnormal periods after COVID-19 vaccines. Professors looking for answers, but it's not real though, right, Caroline? Researchers looking into a link between COVID-19 vaccine and menstruation. Totally fake news. Here's a funny addition to this story though. April 30th. So right in the middle of when this is happening. It's just coincidence, though, that this study they did about something that happened in 2020 just happened to come out right in the middle of this massive discussion about menstrual cycles changing based on vaccines. What a coincidence, isn't it, though? It says hundreds of people tear gassed during protests say they now have abnormal menstruation. Now, look, it could totally be that this is just there are such things as coincidences, but I find it utterly absurd, the timing of it. Now, let's just quickly go through this so you understand what this is. You know, one of the main things that stands out to me here is the fact that the U.S. government actively works with the Israeli government on the way that they operate things, like the way they deal with protesters. So we know, routinely proven, in fact, by plenty of other people, that Israel doesn't just use tear gas. They use some kind of neurological thing that causes people to have seizures and break down and go into comas. And I mean, it's terrifying. And they actively spray that where there's children, old women, and everywhere. It's horrifying. I've shown it on the show before. So when we have sudden reports about U.S. tear gas causing weird issues like menstrual cycle changes and the same, you'll see the same kind of things, you need to ask the question about whether they're using the same thing. How about we also recognize the fact that tear gas is literally illegal in wartime? Not a joke. So somehow it's illegal to use in the middle of war, but they can use it on protesters in the middle of a supposedly constitutionally protected act. Isn't that great? But let's read through this real quickly. About 900 women, 900, say police tear gas affected their menstrual cycles. Now, let me ask you this. Is it because they were told that that might have been the case? And did you have effects that you felt afterward? And they report that as, say, police gas affected them? Or did they come to them and say, that gas affected my menstrual cycle? Like, what do you think is more likely? That they all just collectively decided that's what caused it? But it says, guess what? Trans men are experiencing cramps again. Doesn't that sound like something we're talking about today? What we're talking about there is women who turn themselves into men and are still experiencing cramps after their exposure to this, or something else for that matter. Right? I mean, remember the reality of what we talked about back in September 2020, or even before then, right? Actually, I forget the exact date on the Oregon protests. I swear it was in there. That's what this is talking about, back in 2020. But in any case, realize that we talked about the supposed issue that was happening around Fort Detrick, the weird vaping illness that had the same ground glass opacity that was only discussed in the beginning of this as the sole thing that showed what COVID was. It was in the, remember that in the lungs, the ground glass opacity? It's weird that it just disappeared, right? But that was all vaping. It was all vaping. These little clusters of vaping, they called it. What, a cluster of vaping illness? That doesn't say make sense. And it was around Fort Detrick, it was around these other areas. And then suddenly it all bumped, it all started happening. But the thing was interesting to me is that if these people were having this kind of stuff happen back then, is it not possible that they were dealing with something similar that was happening in the United States before we were told it was happening in the United States? Certainly something to think about. Now it says the pain is strong enough that some believe they needed to take urgent care. It says research study suggests that people exposed to tear gas suggests, by the way, that they're exposed to this tear gas during a series of Portland, Oregon protests last summer are dealing with some of the worst menstrual cycles of their lives. Weird. The Guardian reported that 900 women complained of intense cramping and heavy bleeding, and it all correlates to them being exposed to the same tear gas, right? So it correlates, and they suggest that it might. Not really sound, if you ask me. Well, it looks like that. They were all there together, and they all have cramps, so it's probably that. Like that seems like the gist of what we're talking about here. And you read the study itself, it seems about the same idea. It says, however, this new study published has some limitations as the results are based on an anonymous online survey. Sound. In any case, the reality is, I think it's very telling that if we're looking at it from a surface level, face value, I think it's telling that this tear gas is obviously not tear gas. And it's weird that it's not surprising at all that it's exactly what happens in Israel when they use the same thing. Or there's something more happening here. And this is somehow, again, my point was, why in the world, if this was happening back then, this study is being put out right now, April 30th, 2021, right in the smack dab middle of this discussion. Like, really? Like, it's just like, look over there. Look at that. It's something else. I just find that to be a little ridiculous. But in any case, here's the study. Health issues, healthcare. So this is from April 2021, published. But it's saying, right here, it says results. Almost all respondents, 93% reported physical or psychological health issues experienced immediately or days following the exposure. So this is ultimately why I feel like it's like, well, it seems more like this was back in 2020, which doesn't mean it's not related, but interesting. A slight higher proportion experienced delayed head or gastrointestinal tract issues compared with immediate complaints. The majority reported receiving planning to seek medical or mental care. I mean, this sounds exactly like what happens in Israel. Persons who reported exposure to tear gas agents also reported physical and psychological health issues over a multiple day period. The study provides evidence of potential unexpected harms of tear gas in civilians. Why that's even an acceptable point? The tear gas is something that should be used on civilians. I don't even care if the people out there breaking the law. Are you really going to pretend like tear gas is something that's an acceptable reality to people that are just around people breaking the law? Just unbelievable to me. For those joining this discussion late, we've gone deep into the discussion of vaccines and shedding and the whole thing. Jump back to the beginning and we'll get that covered, but we'll just keep going forward. This, of course, I have it like this because it'll start playing, because that's what great mainstream does. This is absolutely ridiculous, guys. I couldn't even believe this. It's the CDC. Dozens of adverse reactions caused by anxiety. Not Johnson & Johnson. Well, thanks, CDC. I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that you have a massive profit motive around the sale of these vaccines. But who cares about that, though, right? Because conflicts of interest don't apply to the good guys. The Centers for Disease Control has concluded that dozens of Johnson & Johnson vaccine recipients experienced adverse physical reactions. Why? Because anxiety, not the vaccine. That's literally what they're trying to argue. Now, when you actually dive into this, you'll find quite clearly that there's nothing to back this up other than what they think. Well, they were concerned and they passed out, and it's because they were scared. And that's, we know that because look at these other people said they were scared. And that then, so that's what it was. That's COVID clown world science for you right there. The agency investigated clusters of anxiety related events, right? So they deemed them anxiety related events. Because they passed out or because they had a rash, and they go, well, that's just anxiety. You realize that anxiety can cause all sorts of crazy things. That doesn't mean that when you see crazy things that it's probably anxiety. That's what they love to do, is err on the side of what works best for them. With a total 64, and of course, the point is the CDC does this. So they're conducting their own research about something that they're responsible for, because that's not alarming. But it says with a total of 64 incidences out of 8,624 doses administered, according to them, right? So that doesn't mean that's the only things that we had. They're picking out the 64 that they're claiming are anxiety related and saying that's only out of 8,000. But what if we tell you that the vast majority of those 8,000 also had serious issues like headaches and vomiting and whatever else? Was that anxiety related? Well, no, who cares? We won't even get into that. Reported by the CDC by 5 mass vaccination sites across 5 states. So 5 sites across 5 states, but that's a big thing. We're going to, it kills me how much they disparage the massive peer-reviewed random controlled trials that we show you about God knows everything. And yet this is what they bring to you. It just kills me. But researchers said that these anxiety-related cases, quote, can occur after any vaccination. Of course it can. It can occur after stubbing your toe too. It doesn't mean that it's always what happens. If a person has a physical reaction within 15 minutes of inoculation due to their worries about getting a shot, so let me read that again, because I paused. What they're literally saying right there, researchers said, which I love how they start with that. So researchers, so somebody who decided to look into something. Is he educated? Is he 6 years old? I mean, who cares? Researchers said that the anxiety-related cases, quote, can occur after any vaccination if a person has a physical reaction within 15 minutes. So they're telling you if you have a reaction in 15 minutes, or at least that's how people will read that, well, it's probably anxiety. Are you effing kidding me? You're going to literally tell people to their face that if you have some kind of serious thing happening in 15 minutes, it's probably just because you're worked up, and then they die 2 minutes later and you go, oh, well, then it was serious. Or maybe they should immediately seek help the moment something bad starts, like Dr. Bakhti's talking about, because it could be a blood clot. The incidences were reported between April 7th and 9th, about 5 weeks after the FDA issued emergency authorization for the Johnson & Johnson, again, emergency authorization approval. Again, anybody out there, please take the time to try to look up anywhere in the world that emergency authorization approval is ever used outside of mainstream media currently in COVID-19 clown world. It doesn't exist. There is emergency authorization, or the EUA term is emergency authorization for emergency use authorization, EUA. But there's either emergency authorization for use or approval. That's it. They're very different and easy to look up. So I find it increasingly ridiculous that they keep doing this. They know their marching orders, guys. Blend the things together so they don't understand the difference. But what they're literally telling you is that they happened only between this 2-day period because people were stressed out because we authorized a vaccine that was, I mean, does that not suggest they're concerned about your crazy decision? I mean, it's crazy. These anxiety-related reactions, it says. So again, you understand the article has already made the decision that those are anxiety-related. You see that there's not a possible or maybe, simply stating these anxiety-related reactions are not related to the rare cases of blood clots. So apparently they already did it. That's done. Those are anxiety-related because they said so without any data or any proof of any kind besides the fact that they say that and because it happened in 15 minutes. Clown world science. They're apparently, according to them, because they didn't do science research, this is the kind of crazy thing we're seeing from mainstream. The Hill is literally stating as a fact that these things we just reported that we don't even know are anxiety related, but we're going to say that are not related to the cases of blood clots that led the CDC and FDA to recommend pausing administration for J&J across the country. How in the world could you possibly know that? Because they said that to you. Great journalism, guys. You're just going to state that they're not connected because they say they're anxiety? That guy that passed out could have a damn blood clot, and you don't even know because you're just taking at face value the very people you're supposed to be holding to account. If you were actually journalists, you're not, though. We know that. The anxiety-related cases occurred before the pause, which ended last week. In response to the anxiety-related cases, because that's what they are now, which included 17 cases of fainting or syncope, which means temporary loss of consciousness, 4 of the 5 mass vaccination sites temporarily shut down during an investigation. Right, but it's all in your head, though. In total, the CDC determined that the reporting rate of fainting after a Johnson & Johnson vaccine to the vaccine adverse reporting system was 8.2 per 100,000, which means you can easily bring that down to like 1,000, right, times it by 100, because we know that it's only 1% of reports. In comparison, the rate for the 2019-2020 flu shot was 0.05 per 100,000 doses. Do you realize what they're saying right now? They're saying that because this is so much less, it has to be anxiety. Why? Because we know the vaccine's not dangerous, because we know that. How is this even considered journalism? You are taking at face value the most important thing to investigate. Because it's less dangerous when it's the flu, and it's far, far, far more reporting that's happening during this vaccine, well, then it must be anxiety. It can't be that there's just more reports because people are being hurt. That's not possible, according to The Hill. Recipients who underwent anxiety-related events most commonly reported light headedness, dizziness, fainting, nausea, vomiting. You mean like literally everybody that gets this vaccine, it would seem? 13 of the patients were taken to the emergency department for additional care because it was just anxiety, though. This goes on and on. I mean, it is pathetic. I can't even believe that this is what they're continuing to push. So they're literally trying to tell you that it's all in your head, guys. It's all in your head. Well, tell that to all the people we're going to talk to next. Tell that to all the people that are right now having issues with miscarriages, as a number of pregnant women suffering miscarriages after having COVID vaccines increases by 483% in 7 weeks. All right. So understand, no matter how you feel about this, even if you think that's not true, that it's connected to the vaccine, that headline is correct. And this is what's driving them up the wall, because all they're saying is the number of pregnant women suffering miscarriages simply after having the vaccine. That didn't say it's caused by it, even though I believe there's clearly something happening here. The point is that they will censor this. And all they're reporting is the fact that this was reported. The reports of this happening after the vaccine have increased 483%. And how is that fake news? How is it censorable if it's literally true and it's on theirs right now? And all they said is it's happening afterward. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're now censoring things that are true because they feel like it leads to that reality. This shows you how desperate they are. But this is easy to verify. This site does a good job, including the data, the links. You can find it for yourself. This is not a joke. How is it possible to ignore all of these from different angles? Because they're hiding something from you. Here's a great video that I'm only going to show a couple quick clips of that I really hope you'll watch. Del Bigtree managed to get the 3 most prominent, in my opinion, women that have shown, that had these Facebook videos. Remember? And they, by the way, these were videos that I showed on my channel that half the people watching said, that's fake. She's making it up, or blah, blah, blah. Well, here they are. 3 of them in a real world setting in an interview with Del Bigtree, where he talks to each of them. And it made me tear up. This is sad. These people are still today. Look at this. You remember this bit? You've seen this video. January 13th. Today, they're sitting in this room, and you'll show you, shaking, twitching, because they still have not got back their bodily autonomy. But the government wants to tell you that they're all fake news, though. Anti-vaxxers, because they're still having Bell's palsy or whatever is actually happening. Neurological issues is what I think.
The waking hour was like... Someone almost with Huntington's disease.
And as a CNA, where did you...
The one in the middle doesn't seem to be having current tremors. The one on the right, you can see very clearly, is constantly tremoring. The one on the left does when she starts to get worked up. And she says that she gets upset. It triggers the reaction.
What type of work do you do?
Patient care at Good Samaritan Nursing Home in Oakland City, where I live.
And which vaccine did you receive?
The Moderna, the first shot. And it was within 2 days that I was convulsing.
When the convulsion started, how quickly did you reach out to, so what was the plan? Did you go right to the doctor that gave you the vaccine or what? How did you?
So they brought in CVS Pharmacy and a pharmacist gave us the vaccine.
So it's for work, right? So the work basically coerced her into getting this, which is what's happening all over the place.
The next day when, or the 2 days after when my tongue started spasming, I reached out to my DON first and she said, you need to go to the emergency room. Then I reached out to my primary care doctor and said, hey, you know, my tongue is spasming at resting state. It has literally rubbed it raw from my teeth.
God, I can't even imagine.
He recommended that I go on steroids immediately. He put me on steroids, Benadryl, and Pepcid. And then, like I said, the next day I woke up in full body convulsions.
Here, you can see your start.
And we called the primary care doctor while I was on the phone. He said, you need to call an ambulance. We called an ambulance right away. They took me to Deaconess Gateway in Evansville, where the doctor there just told me I was clearly having a panic attack and needed to settle down. So my husband loaded me up and took me to another hospital, St. Vincent in Evansville, Indiana, where the doctor there said, this is clearly a vaccine injury. Do not take the second dose.
That's important to hear, guys, right? This is a doctor who has admitted, who has looked her over, right? Has evaluated her and is telling her this is a vaccine injury. Do not take this, right? Why don't you hear that in the news? Where's that? That's a doctor. That's an expert who has a degree, who knows what he's doing, whose very job is to look at specifically what she's dealing with. And guess what? He says this is a vaccine injury. And all they can do is say fake news. You're an anti-vaxxer if you even say that. That's why these people are in such a bad way, because they not only have this horrible issue, but their entire community turns on them the moment that they talk about it. How sickening is that? And that's why you have people that are refusing to admit that they're dealing with stuff, because they don't want to play a part in this whole charade. They don't want to be part of the manipulation. And you know, and it puts them in danger. They could die because they refuse to admit that they're dealing with something. It really makes me sick. And if you don't have the decorum or the If you're not a good enough person to not make horrible comments about people like this, then you don't need to be in this chat. So you can go somewhere else. But the point is, this is pretty upsetting that people have to deal with something like this. And it's because of the people that make light of stuff like this and don't care about stuff like this and hide stuff like this.
So that was the first time you really heard that?
That is the first and only time that I have heard that.
Everyone else, what do they think they were treating?
Psychological.
Right.
Psychogenic movement disorder.
They tell her she's crazy. That's what happens.
Spontaneously.
Imagine how difficult that would be? No, you're just crazy.
Appeared.
Yeah, I must have stressed out about the shot. And this is why this has happened.
Right. You see, that's what they're saying right now. They're already trying to insinuate that just because you're stressed, that's what's happening. You're stressed out. Unbelievable.
What every other doctor says to me, PTSD.
Jesus. Well, just I want you guys to watch this for yourselves, but I'm going to try to jump. I just want you to see each one of them and we can move on.
And from there, I was transported over to the hospital. And as soon as I got into my room, physician came.
This was you guys saw this one.
Then I woke up and I felt really dizzy, almost passed out. But I never took off from work. I just took me some ibuprofen. I gathered myself up and I went on to work. About 11:30 Friday night, I got out of the bed and I couldn't feel or use my left leg. I didn't know what was going on. I said, okay, well, I guess this is going to pass. I was just in shock.
Right. I went back to bed.
I told
you. See, right then, She should have gone to the hospital. In any other circumstance, she would have been like, something is wrong. I need to go to the hospital. But because these people have been gaslit, because they've been convinced that they're crazy if they think anything bad, she went to bed instead. Now ask yourself whether maybe they could have done something for her if it would have happened quickly. What if she would have died while she was sleeping because it was a blood clot? The point is, this is the catastrophically dangerous situation that the media has put everybody in. That anything that's happening is in your head and you shouldn't do anything about. And they call us dangerous. They call us the people putting people at risk. This is why I get so frustrated and upset with this stuff.
My husband, something's going on with my leg. And then Saturday morning, I got up and I could not use either of my legs. And it eventually followed by full body convulsions about 2 hours later.
And you can see she's still twitching right now.
To the ER. And from there, I was transported over to the hospital. And as soon as I got into my room, physician come in, a hospitalist, and he said, Ms. Tissell, I heard you were coming. I know what's going on. I know this is the vaccine, and we are going to do research until we figure it out.
See, same situation. So it's odd that, you know, it's not surprising to anyone that these local doctors are the ones that are very quick to be honest and see what they see. But the moment that it goes up to some higher level, it's like, no, fake news. You're crazy. That's what it is. I wonder why. It's just so upsetting. Like, she's still shaking right now. 5 months later, she's still shaking. And they want you to believe that this is just completely, it'll pass. It's just a side effect. No, it's an effect. It's an effect that seems pretty damn common to me in comparison to what we're dealing with here by the vaccine.
See, you know, were you aware of, you know, these stories that were out there at the time that you decided to get a vaccine?
I was not.
Again, because she was not informed, because the media did not inform her of the risks, because there is no informed consent. There's only informed propaganda or propaganda consent or however you want to frame that. They're lying to you. They're spreading the very medical misinformation that they're screaming that we're presenting and kept her from knowing the realities of the risk. Now, let me ask you this. If any of you out there knew that this was a possibility, I don't care if it was 1%. 0.5%. If you knew that you could be like this for the rest of your life, would you still test this thing? I don't care if this was the flu shot. If next year they said this normal flu shot, it still works the same way. You're totally not at risk and danger, but you might have this effect for the rest of your life. 1%. That's it. They would tell you it's worth it. But would you risk it? Would you be willing to risk it for something that you're not in danger from? I bet you she would have thought differently if she had the full data.
So we have video of what you went through.
You saw this too. I showed it to you. And everyone said, fake, fake, fake. That's a fake one.
If you guys think this is normal, you tell me.
God, I can't even imagine that.
Breathe, honey. Breathe. With her toes cramping up.
God, dang, it's crazy.
Going into convulsions.
Makes me angry, to be honest. Honey. But I want you to take the time to watch this because it's a really good, powerful interview. And it's not all terribly sad. It is sad. But the reality is more about revealing the truth. And it's important to understand what these people have gone through and what they're still currently going through and what they're hiding from everybody. Now, it's important to understand what we're dealing with here. And this is one of the scientific studies that's being completely ignored from 2021, right? This January, January 18th, 2021, that very clearly finds that there are risks in regard to the COVID-19 RNA-based vaccines and the risk of prion disease. But what this is really talking about specifically is these neurological problems. Then what it says, other than getting into the reality of the risks and dangers, is that they clearly find at the bottom, it says the folding of the DDP43 and FUS into their pathological prion conformations, which is what they're claiming this vaccine does, is known to cause ALS. What do you know? Front temporal lobar degeneration, Alzheimer's disease, and other neurological degenerative diseases. That is what we're talking. That's what this is, in my opinion. It's exactly what we're staring at. Any one of those things would apply here, it would seem. And the reality is this is found. This is science. This is the science that they're telling you to trust. There's not some counterbalance to this. Someone didn't do a follow-up study from CDC that says that's fake news. This is science that has yet to be undermined. It's telling you that they found an obvious risk of prion disease and neurological diseases because of the COVID-19 vaccine, because of the RNA in it. Think about that. I mean, the reality of this, what this shows you, and the fact that these people are literally living through this, and it's still fake news. LifeSite reporting 19,916 eye disorders, including blindness, following COVID-19 vaccine reported in Europe. As always, the information is easy to look up. Yes, these things are reports, but as always, that doesn't mean they're not, that they're all, they would, if all of these reports were somehow positive, do you pretend that they would all act like they were fake? We know that this is something that matters because they used it in plenty of circumstances before this. That's why HHS and Harvard looked into this and determined that it was only 1%. And they said, well, here's a new system that's autonomous and we'll do it for you. And they didn't. Remember, Del Bigtree just talked about this. The CDC stopped responding. They didn't. They turned. They literally, like, their phone wouldn't be answered. The emails wouldn't be responded. They just said, nope, we don't like that program because we want to control the data. So they checked out. Apparently millions of dollars went spent for nothing. But they clearly did find that 1% is what we have here. Only 1%. And by the way, they very clearly state in the study that vaccine injuries are common, but underreported. Common seems a little different than one in a million that we get from the media, doesn't it? But that's directly from the HHS and Harvard. But let's pretend like that doesn't matter because you didn't hear about it on Fox News. But this is real, guys. And it's everywhere. India, guess what? 400,000 cases in 24 hours and everyone's talking about it, right? Of course, 400,000, they're all telling you. But guess what? No one's very clearly pointing out, or guess what? No one in the mainstream is choosing to include when they scream at you about this. As I wrote right here, just so I didn't forget. So in India, as we've already reported, most have already been vaccinated, the majority. And on top of that, they are reporting that easily 50% of them, before they even started the new vaccination push, probably already had herd immunity or immunity. And yet they're still pushing and pushing it, right? We also know that it's one of the ones that are being forced to wear masks and everything else. So ask yourself how it's possible with the narrative that if almost everyone is vaccinated and they're all being forced to wear masks and social distance, how is it possible that this is happening over there? Oh, it must be one of those variants. And that's exactly why they keep using that narrative. Well, if it's a variant that caused it, well, that within their narrative seems to suggest that the vaccine doesn't make any sense to take. It also makes sense that the masks and the distancing are doing nothing because it's still happening within the narrative, understand. I'm not telling you I'm agreeing with any of this. What I'm telling you is that they're screaming at you that this is important in India, and that's why we all need to be scared still. But they're doing everything they're supposed to do according to the narrative. So how does that make sense? No one's going to say that. Even though that's one of the obvious, most obvious points to make. Here's Zuby saying, what if the Rona shot has negative long-term consequences? What then? It's a good question, right? Because we don't know. Here's what this guy says. The vaccines have actually been in development for decades and have gone through very large clinical trials. Thanks, Jeff Plinkington. I don't know why he's blue-checked, but perfectly makes sense with his answer. The reality is that's ridiculous. Right. So then he cites a bunch of tweets from other blue checks that say this technology has been worked on for decades and coronavirus vaccine development began with the SARS outbreak. OK, none of that has anything to do with safety trials. So let's pretend like there's going to be something else here. And then he goes on to say, OK, another blue check says America's drug safety system works. The recent pause of J&J says, OK, that has nothing to do. They're saying have gone under very large clinical trials. Well, none of that has anything to do with what he's actually saying. He's claiming that these COVID-19 vaccines from multiple different companies have all been in development for decades. First of all, that's a really dumb thing to say if you're arguing that the COVID-19 vaccine's been in development for decades, which would then suggest that they knew this was coming. But that's not the case, at least in his argument, I'm saying. What he's arguing is that these things have been worked on. Right. Very large clinical trials. Okay, fine. Yeah, the ones, and that's actually not true, by the way. The very large clinical trials are very small ones that were conducted in regards like to dengue fever and these different, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It's easy to look up. But the reality is, even if there were large trials, how in the world is, when he asks about safety trials and long-term consequences, does this guy somehow bend the reality to think that because they've done other trials around previous vaccines, when they make a new one, even with the same technology, that how somehow the safety trials they can be shorter? Anybody? That's really stupid, because the safety trials are the same thing, regardless of the technology that's being reused. Yes, they've been tweaking and toying with this stuff forever, which is alarming to me. But because they've been in development for decades and with previous illnesses does not then translate that we can, that's what they want it to be. That's what the mRNA platform is they're trying to sell you. But this guy doesn't know what he's talking about because the safety trials, if you want to call it that, are still ongoing. They're still testing on pregnant women. They're still testing on children, which is disgusting. And they're already initiating multiple tests on all sorts of side things. What about the anaphylactic? We're starting a new study to make sure that's not a problem. Well, guess what? That's what would have been done in a real safety trial. To pretend like the previous technology being researched then somehow translates into smaller safety trials is ignorant. But he's more than happy to scream that because mainstream media said. But there's a lot of this stuff. Here's the next one. I'm in the same comment. This guy literally says to the same question, what if there's long-term consequences? Come on, Zuby. If it had any long-term consequences, they'd never market it. Now, first of all, this shows an alarming trust in what you're told. And that they're just always going to do the right thing for you because, well, they wouldn't sell it if it was dangerous. What are you, 3 years old? But then, of course, the point is, as he points out, how would they know? It's not even technically possible. Do you know what long-term means? This is the kind of brainwashing that is everywhere. Now, some of these people could be just fake and they're the propagandist troll bot farms, but there's a lot of people that buy this. And they literally think that this is, oh, they know. We already know long-term consequences. How could we know the long-term consequences? Well, I've already seen a response where people go, because we've been studying this for decades. So a new thing comes along, so we're told. You make a new vaccine with the new technology, and we're acting like we know the long-term. I mean, this is just dumb. But see, what doesn't surprise you that people falling for the illusion are also falling for arguments like this? Now, all of that being said, all the dangers, all the issues, this is the same woman we showed you last time saying this stuff again. I actually think I downloaded this, but she's telling, what she's going to say to you is that we need to hold your freedom over your head because if we don't, you won't take this vaccine if you have a choice. So what we're going to do is use your rights that are inalienable, which she probably doesn't understand if that's what she's saying, against you. And we're going to say, we're going to hold these and you can't have these things unless you do this thing that you shouldn't be allowed to be forced on you, and we'll give you rights back. It's pretty incredible. Let me grab this video. Pretty sure I downloaded that. Yep, there it is.
Dr. Fauci and President Biden have been taking is a societal approach. They're saying there is the light at the end of the tunnel for all of us together. And when we can reduce the level of infection in the community, increase vaccination rates, that's when at some point, hopefully soon, but at some point, we can relax the restrictions.
And by the way, that's not even actually what's happening. Like, that's, I'm sure, that what they want you to think, that, you know, that Fauci and Biden are, you know, resisting the vaccine passport. No, they're not. Hey, let's not be naive. Okay, we clearly can see where this is going, and whether or not they mandate vaccine passports or they allow businesses to do it for them, it's already happening. It's already happening to travel. It's already happening to get on a plane. It's already happening to go in all sorts of businesses. It's happening for people to work at businesses. It's already happening. So to pretend like it's some fuzzy, touchy-feely thing where we're all working together, that's the narrative. But they're forcing this on everybody. They're coercing you. They're manipulating you like in a slimy, sneaky, terrible way. I would almost rather they try to ham-fisted force you so you could make it clear that you're resisting. What they're doing here is really sneaky and it's alarming to me. But here's what she says. So she first starts out by saying, but they're doing this by allowing you to make your own choices, which anybody believe that's what's happening? No. But here's what she says we should do.
I don't know if that works for many Americans. For many people, it probably does work to say, yes, we're in this together. It's patriotic. We're doing this together.
Sorry, just to say, when she says it doesn't work for many Americans, she's not saying that you don't like that. What she's saying is that doesn't work in coercing you to take the vaccine. That's what she means. That doesn't work for most Americans. That is, so what she's saying, it doesn't effectively cause you to get the vaccine. So what we need to do is manipulate you. That's what she's saying.
It's patriotic. We're doing this together. But I think a lot of people are thinking kind of selfishly, thinking what's in it for me. And they're not willing to wait until this elusive herd immunity. If we can tell those individuals who otherwise would not get vaccinated, if we say to them, the moment of freedom for you is when you get vaccinated, when you reach the 2-week mark, these are people who otherwise might not be vaccinated. So let's give them that incentive.
Ah, great. So let's hold your inalienable God-given rights over your head and say you don't get these things until you do what you're told. Like a good free American, right? Until you do what your government says. Freedom! This is what's happening, guys. whether you realize it or not. Crazy. And of course, Connecticut ends religious vaccine exemption for students, right? So as Del Bigtree was just talking about, this is one religion versus another. This is vaccine dogma versus religious, you know, real religions, where people believe strongly that they are violating their religious beliefs by taking something with all sorts of terrible things in it, whether we're talking baby fetuses or whatever. That's older, you know, the first ones. Now we're talking mRNA, whatever. The point is that we don't believe that playing God with our bodies is what we should be doing. So what do? They honor your religious rights? No, they cancel that and say, too bad, now you can't do that. Because we care about your rights? Because we believe in religious freedom? Clearly not. They'll scream that when it suits their interests, but then they classically, like always, take it from you when it suits their interests. Here's what Del Bigtree had to say the other day. I wanted to play this at the end of the show yesterday, I forgot. I want to listen to this now. This is a great point.
You know, one of the things that I argue with my legal team a lot about is when they're removing a religious exemption, I said, my argument is you can't remove a religious exemption. This idea that somehow that science overpowers religious belief and faith. Well, when your science has no data collection, when it has no proof, when it has no safety study, when it's not using controls, when it is not going through the scientific method, as I pointed out, when you're not challenging your own products and your own theories with, you know, healthy skepticism, but instead are censoring scientists that are speaking out against you, suppressing data so that no one can see it, and then telling everybody they should believe in the product, whether or not it's been through a safety study or not, you have now become a religion, and we do have freedom of religion. And one thing is for sure, one religion doesn't get to override another religion. I've said, my legal team says, Del, we're not quite sure how to do that, but I'm telling you, the war that's happening here is between religions. The religion of scientism, which is no longer based in science, has no facts to its name and refuses to do the proper studies versus anybody else, whether you're a Christian, you're Jewish, you're Muslim, you believe in nature, I don't care. You have a right to have that belief and make the choices that come from that belief.
Indeed. Well put. It's funny. I don't often use the term we'll just say, of carrot and stick, right? I just don't, because it's so randomly misinterpreted. Some people see that as meaning that you either get the carrot or the stick, right? So it's either hitting you with the stick to get it going, or you give the carrot, and, you know, or people see it as the classic image of hanging the carrot on the stick in front of you, right? They're two very different things, and people use them interchangeably. So I never tend to use that analogy, but it applies, right? The idea that we're literally going to say that, you know, you're going to get smacked. That's what that one would be. Like, we're going to smack you with this until you take the bait, and then you get your carrot, right? The idea of the carrot on a stick in front of like the cart doesn't make sense for the analogy, because it never gets it. Or maybe it does. Maybe it works perfectly, right? Because you never get it. In any case, that's an excellent point, because we're talking about the fact that this has become dogma, right? And they're telling you now that you do not have the right to say, I have a religion that says I don't get to take that. They don't have the right to do that. This shows you how far off the rails these governments are, that they believe they have the right to tell you that you have to do this. And not only that, they're going to remove the loopholes in their mind. They think it's a loophole that you use to stop it. You know, that no matter how you see that, whether it's religion or your choice, it boils down to them thinking that it's not your choice. That they know what's best because they're in charge. You're a bunch of morons that have no idea what's going on because you listen to fake news, and we're going to force this in your arm for your best interest, like you're 2 years old. It's just as dangerous then as it is now. And this is going to continue to happen until we stand up and put a stop to it. Now, Doom is going to be irritated with me again, because I'm going to skip this part that I wanted to go over more than once today, or more than once over the last few days. But there's a nanotechnology discussion that I'm going to get to, but I really want the first part of this not to be missed. We're already at 2:20. So I'm going to fly through this last part about the FDA document. We're going to call it a day, but I will get to this document and this discussion about Klaus Schwab and the reality that he's told us long ago that we are going to have chips in our bodies. Now, that, you know, the fake news story that whoever thought that would happen, clearly he did. He told us that multiple years ago. And as well as this other issue we're going to talk about, but quickly to rattle this off, we just talked about this sheet. We just talked about the FDA and Pfizer and biotech. And what's interesting to me is that it also said April 6th, it revised April 6th, 2020. Remember that? 2021. just looked at it. It said April 6th. So what's interesting to me that this is different, it either means that they updated it the same day again, which is strange to me, or they saw my show and decided to change it. Who ultimately knows? But you'll find the change is quite interesting. Here is what the top now says. Instead of saying there is no FDA approved vaccine, which is still true, it now says the FDA has issued an emergency use authorization to permit the emergency use of unapproved product, which is Pfizer biotech vaccine, which is quite different and not as easy to understand for people that want to just jump to the point. Oh, it's issued, authorized. It's authorized, right? I just find that to be telling. Not as important as the other points, but still changing it. Why? All they did was reword it. Doesn't that tell you something? This part says, oh, and this is the other thing under contraindictions, right? Here's what it says. This is super important. Do not administer the Pfizer vaccine to individuals with known history of severe reaction, anaphylaxis, due to a component of the Pfizer vaccine, due to any component of the Pfizer vaccine. So they are telling you, yeah, you got an EpiPen? No worries. Ask anybody. If you go to a vaccine site and you say you got an allergic reaction, they're going to say, yeah, you have an EpiPen? Okay, then you're good. Pfizer has changed this now to state aggressively, do not, no possible deviation, do not administer. Why? Because they know what's happening. I'm pretty sure that they changed this document because they're starting to get really worried about what they're seeing and that we're seeing it too. And they're going to quietly change their document to make sure that they can cover their butt. But it's too late for that because the early iterations very clearly have been they've been broad, and now they've been pushing it and using it on people with anaphylaxis and with allergies all over the place. We just talked about 100 of them. Isn't that interesting? Here's another one. Warnings. We just talked about this. Remember we talked about how they removed this from that other one that was also updated on April 6th? Now they put it back. I wonder why. Maybe because they also realize that people are having issues with anaphylactic shock and they're getting hurt at this place. Well, appropriate medical treatment used to manage immediate allergic reactions must be immediately available. So I guess drive-through vaccine stations aren't pliable or aren't applicable. Well, they're still using them. So what does that mean? It means that Pfizer's covering its butt. So when something terrible happens, they can go, well, we told you to have all the things that you didn't have that weren't possible to have at a drive-through station or at a Walgreens or at a Waffle House. Yeah, we don't have it all there because it's not possible. Or let's pretend like we're going to have a sterile environment inside of a Waffle House or a Walgreens after you get your vaccine. The point is they don't have all of the appropriate medical treatment available on hand, but they're supposed to. Isn't that interesting? Clearly they care about your safety, huh? This says Pfizer biotech COVID vaccine may not protect all vaccine recipients, but we know that. Adverse reactions. Here's something interesting. In clinical trials, and they list off all the same things they saw, but then they put post-authorized experience. Now, these are just reports, but guess what they choose to leave out? Everything. Everything except anaphylaxis, which they're already still pretending like isn't really serious. But where's everything else? Where's the thrombosis, the blood clot, the stuff that we already have verified is very clearly an issue? Guess they just chose to leave that out. But it says additional adverse reactions, some of which may be serious, may become apparent with more widespread use. You mean they're testing it on you, like usual. I forgot to play this at the other part when they were talking about how it's all anxiety and it's all in your head, which was not that one, this one here. It's all in your head, guys. It's all in your head. Well, I wanted to play this because this is what they're trying to tell you. It's all in your head. And I played this a few times already. That guy's immediately passing out. And all he do is shake his chest and put his chair back. That's not good. No, quick, yeah. Put his chair back. Don't let people see it. Damn. Why? Let me ask you this. What, if somebody passed out, why would you lay them back? Isn't that dangerous? Aren't you supposed to not put them on their back when they pass out? Oh, I guess it's because it's more important not to let people see what's happening.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Right? Now he comes back a little bit and then passes out again. Oh, there he goes. Rub his chest. That'll help. This is in a drive-through vaccination station. Wow.
Holy shit, man. He's freaking out right now.
And now he is in pain. Look at him. He's struggling.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So the point again, guys, is they do not have the proper medical treatment equipment. Otherwise, they would have done more than rub his chest and lay him back, which is obviously dangerous. right? This is classic, guys. When somebody passes out or anything happens, you don't lay them on their back because something could, they could asphyxiate. You put them on their side, or you at least, at the very least, I mean, I don't know. This is at least what I know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a doctor. The point at the same time is that this is happening, and all they're going to say is that guy had anxiety that he passed out twice from and had a crazy headache. Clearly, totally makes sense. But going forward, there is no information on the co-administration of the Pfizer biotech vaccine with other vaccines, just like last time. So still, we don't know what happens if you just got vaccinated, right? If you just are, what about a child who just had their vaccine scheduled? There's kids that are being told to get vaccinated. So the point is, we don't know what happens alongside other vaccines, like all the other ones, which means that you shouldn't take it because you don't know what might happen. But they don't care about that. As the vaccination provider, this is really interesting. Now, this is information to provide the vaccine recipients. This is, as the vaccination provider, you must communicate to the recipient or their caregiver, which they need to communicate with them that Pfizer is emergency authorized. You see, not authorized for approval, emergency or authorized for emergency use, which is not an FDA approved vaccine. So you know the reason why they're putting this in now? Because they know that's not happening. And they're covering their butt. Because right now, the fact that 90% of people on Twitter don't know that and just got vaccinated means that they're not using, there's no informed consent. They're not being told this is emergency authorized. They think it's approved. They roll up in their car, they get a jab in their arm, and they drive away. They're not, there's no actual process like we usually have or that we told we have. But now Pfizer's going, you have to tell them. You must communicate these things, right? Because there's a liability here. It's quite clear, just like Iraq and 9/11, the same analogy I used, that they wanted you to think that this thing was approved. That's why they're blending the terminology. But now Pfizer's going, crap, we're going to get in trouble here. Or maybe they don't care. Who knows? But they're clearly stating you have to tell them this. Tell them that it's not approved. I find that very telling. The recipient or their caregiver has the option to accept or refuse the vaccine. Clearly, that's not the case because everyone's forcing their employees to do it. So Pfizer's going, damn it, guys. I'm just saying, kind of in a joke, in a facetious way, like, you guys are going to get us in trouble by continuing to do these things. I mean, the reason people are running with these nonsensical they're because they've been brainwashed and coerced by the media to think this is what they should be doing. The nurses out there are running on the dogma and gospel of vaccines are great no matter what. Finally, it says the significant known. Understand what it says right here. The significant known and potential risks. That's very clear. There's significant known risk that they're admitting to right there. The significant known and potential risks and benefits of Pfizer biotech. Now, the way English works, understand that applies right there. They're not that you don't use known and then say risk and then say benefits and only mean to apply it to benefits. There are known significant risks. By the way, they also don't say known potential risks. They say known and potential risks. So they're telling you this is significantly risky. Isn't that interesting? And it says, and the extent to which such risks and benefits are unknown, meaning they also don't know what the future ones might be. Why? Because there's not been long-term studies. So they're clearly covering their butt on all these lies that have been spread by the mainstream media. And it's all right there in front of you. But the point is, all the people that still think this is an approved miracle vaccine, they won't even read this. And if they do, they're going to think it's fake or made up and just ignore it and walk away because they've already decided what the dogma is. Then it says, provide the V-Safe information sheet to vaccine recipients and encourage vaccine recipients to participate in V-Safe. What's V-Safe? Well, guess what? V-Safe is a new voluntary smartphone-based tool that uses text messaging and web surveys to check in with people who've been vaccinated to identify potential side effects after COVID vaccination. So you're being tracked and monitored to make sure that you don't die. And if anything you do die from or have an effect of, they can mark down so they can benefit themselves. V-Safe asks questions that the CDC monitor and safety. It's you're being experimented on, which has always been the case, guys. It says optimize the potential benefit. The following items are, how does this keep happening? You know what it is? I know what it was. Dang it. I forgot about that. I roll up the screen and that's what happens. Mandatory requirements for Pfizer biotech COVID vaccine administration under emergency use authorization. So mandatory requirements. It says in order to mitigate the risks of using this unapproved product under the emergency use authorization and to optimize potential benefit, the following items are required. Use of, again, the unapproved Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine, all requirements. I mean, this is funny how constantly they're reiterating unapproved, unapproved. clearly something needs to shift here. One, individuals 16 years of older. Interesting. It's only other, this is they're this is all reiteration. There, people are being given right now to people under 16. It's already happened all over the world. You can look up the stats right now, and not in trials. Kids are being vaccinated, and that is horrifying because they're telling you, we don't even know. We didn't even test, and we're only currently testing on children right now, even though they've got a 0% chance of being sick or dying from this thing. The vaccination provider must communicate to the individual receiving the vaccine or the caregiver information consistent with the fact sheet for recipients of caregivers prior to receiving it. Are we going to pretend that every Walgreens and Waffle House and Krispy Kreme and wherever else that's happening? Now, Krispy Kreme was giving a donut with your card. A lot of these places were offering vaccines. Walgreens, for sure. Waffle House was one of them. A bar was one of them. The point is, do you think they're reading the fact sheets to every person that drives through that drive-thru? Obviously not. There's probably some document they make them sign that then acknowledges that they did their own due diligence or something like that. That's how they always slide through. The vaccination provider is responsible for mandatory reporting of the adverse events. I guarantee they're not doing that. We've already seen reports of these people ignoring events because they don't think it's related. But then it says, finally, the vaccination provider is responsible for responding to FDA requests for information about vaccine administration errors, adverse events, cases of MIS in adults and children. What? And cases of COVID-19 that result in hospitalization or death following administration of the biotech. What? Do you see what that's saying? It's saying that they're making sure you have to respond to the FDA when they ask about cases of MIS in adults. Okay, what does that have to do with the vaccine? Ah, good question. Are they literally suggesting right there that at the very least they are concerned that MIS in adults and children is being caused by the vaccine? That seems to be the implication, doesn't it? Why would they ask about MIS in adults in context of the vaccine if it's just randomly occurring because of COVID-19? They're asking because they're concerned it's being caused by the vaccine. This is a no-brainer, guys. And again, it says cases of COVID-19 that happen after the vaccine. Okay, so they're clearly acknowledging that people are getting COVID-19 or here's the main point. That's, first of all, they're acknowledging it's happening, but also they're saying cases of COVID-19 that result in hospitalization or death. So what about the fact that it's not COVID-19? But in fact, the vaccine that then causes them to be hospitalized or die. And all they're admitting is that only COVID-19 after the vaccine can cause those two things. You see how they're playing that? You have to report it, right? You give the vaccine to somebody and they die. Well, make sure you report that COVID-19 killed them after the vaccine was given. So we're willing to admit that the COVID-19 can happen after the vaccine, but we'll make sure we cloud that with arguing that it was COVID-19, not the vaccine that caused it. Gaming the information, as always. Of course, death is always one of the possibilities that they will game in this situation. Finally, federal COVID-19 vaccination program. The vaccine is being made available for emergency use exclusively through the CDC COVID-19 vaccination program. Of course it is. Healthcare providers must enroll as providers in the vaccination program and comply with the provider requirements. Didn't they literally just argue that that's a problem, that you can refuse it if you want to? Clearly not. Because the CDC's program says they don't have to, or says they have to take it, apparently. Vaccination providers may not charge any fee. But the bottom line is, even though they're not charging, well, guess what? Vaccination providers may seek appropriate reimbursement from a program plan that covers COVID-19 vaccine. Guess where that money comes from? Your pocket, tax dollars. And guess where Biden just made a bunch of money move to? Oh, that's right. All the Medicare stuff and all the Medicaid stuff. So I wonder if all that was a very careful shell game of money to pretend like we're helping you. And all they do is shovel all this money into this program that then uses to pay for COVID-19 vaccines. Pretty clearly seems to work for me. That seems like exactly what he's doing. I love how they pretend like that's going to help you. It usually doesn't. And here you can see a way that will be shoved, you know, shuttled over to pay for the very thing out of your pocket, again, that you don't want. But it also goes on to say authority for issuance of the EUA, if the emergency use authorization. I want this. This is important. The HHS, the secretary of the HHS, has declared a public health emergency. And that is what justifies the emergency use of drugs in general. By the way, it also says that emergency use of drugs and biological products, just so we're clear on that, during the COVID-19 pandemic. So the only reason this is even being allowed to happen is because the HHS has maintained a public health emergency that Donald Trump initiated, just so we're clear on that. right? Donald Trump's administration initiated the public state of emergency, which then justified the local states of emergency for all the states, right? So Trump started the whole ball rolling. Biden continued it just as much. They're equally responsible. The point is that the HHS is still pretending we're an emergency, despite the fact that their data says we're not. The fact that the UK has admitted all the way back in March 2020 that this is not even a high infectious high consequence infectious disease. Or the fact that the CDC's data right now shows you that it's about 1.4% death rate, which means that you're at best the same as the flu. And if you consider the higher ages and remove that, the average is below the flu for people under 50. How in the world is that an emergency? How is that even a pandemic? Okay, so until the HHS, which by the way, it says the FDA has issued the emergency use authorization for the unapproved product because of this emergency, of course, only for 16 or younger, even though they're doing that anyway. But it says the EUA will end when the HHS decides so. When they decide so, right? So 20 years from now, when they go, oh yeah, by the way, that emergency's over or never, that's acceptable, apparently. There is no mechanism, there's no checks and balances. Because it's an emergency. They set it up this way. This is forever, just like the Patriot Act, just like everything else. Temporary things go on forever because national security. And this is the same thing. And the Health and Human Services has always played a role in this. Robert Cadillac, before he got pushed to the side, was a key player. He's still, I guarantee he's still involved. He's just not in the situation, in the position anymore. The reality, guys, is that this is being held up by the illusion. This is being held up by the fact that they're claiming a state of emergency that doesn't exist. And if that wasn't there, they wouldn't be allowed to even continue to administer these vaccines that are emergency authorized. And they wouldn't be able to argue that they should be mandatory in any sense whatsoever. They can't right now. They're doing it anyway, but they can't. But if we stand back and look at everything we've talked about from the beginning of this, all of the lies, all of the foreknowledge, all of the manipulations, all of the misrepresentations, the propaganda, and add what we talked about today especially, it's very clear that there's so much going on around this whole thing that they are reeling, falling all over themselves to keep from your attention. That's why I'm here. My job is to bring you the data, the information for you to come to your own conclusions about, not to scream at you about what you should think and say everyone else is fake, but to let you think for yourselves. And that's why they're so terrified of what we're doing. Terrified. They'll continue to censor us. This video, even though it's streaming on YouTube at the moment, is going to be deleted, just like all the rest of them, even though they weirdly don't give me strikes anymore. There's some kind of weird thing they're trying to accomplish. But the point is, if you're still watching on YouTube, why? Why are you there? I get it. It's comfortable and you're used to it. But there is a new platform called SuperU. The links will be in the show notes. There's also a lot of other useful platforms as well. I'm streaming on Odyssey right now on Rockfin. The point is, why are you at the platform that is controlling the information? That, you know, do not let them be the conduit between you and our information. Because I can tell you right now, my show tomorrow won't be on YouTube, or it won't be on this channel. Let's put it that way. I'm continuing my pirate streams. I'm only doing this today to make sure the SuperU information gets out and that this important topic gets out. But the reality is that I will be jumping from channel to channel using pirate streams. These are people out there in the world that decided to let me use their channels because YouTube will censor, because that way YouTube can't control it. They can't choke the point we're coming from. They don't know where I'm going to show up tomorrow. I'll be on YouTube. But I don't want you to be there. The only reason I'm doing that is to get through to those people that are still lost, hopefully with no restriction because YouTube doesn't see it until it's too late. The point is, it's driving them crazy. And I think that's why they gave my channel back randomly like a week ago, because they wanted me to stop doing that. I'm not. Hashtag TLAV Pirate Stream. If you want to help, reach out. Ryan at the Last American Vagabond. Put YouTube Pirate Stream. Or something, pirate stream in the subject. I'll make sure I reach out to you. And one day I'll be broadcasting on your channel. We're going to keep going. Hopefully you'll jump over to SuperU, because that's going to continue to grow and continue to get better and better. And it will be, and it is now, in my opinion, an alternative that has all the same things. There is no platform out there that has all the same things that YouTube. So help us fight. Now is the time to stand up and take action, do something about this, because it's not stopping unless we make it stop. Thank you for being here, questioning everything. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.